Blog Talk Radio.
Returns Commissioner T here at the helm, hosting week 14 in review. Three games left to go in the NFL season. Whew. Yeah, I'm here. I have arrived. Y'all didn't think I was going to come after last night, did you? Y'all didn't think, y'all thought Commissioner T was going to get sick. It's just amazing that people actually, I've been doing this now how many years? And all these years, my team has gone and had its ups and downs, and I don't run. I don't hide. I don't know why. I don't get where it's not going to come. I didn't play the game. So I'm not Jerry Jones or Tony Romo or any of those guys. I'm here, And we're going to talk about the Cowboy game and that loss to the better team, the Chicago Bears. We're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight because I do think now it is time to lay them to rest. And we're going to look at the AFC playoff picture starting to take shape. We're going to look at the NFC playoff picture. We're still as confused as ever. And, we're going to just kind of take a look-see around the NFL with three games left to go. What does everybody think? Because, everybody's an expert every week. Already everybody knows how the season's going to end. There's still three games to go, and everybody knows who's going to win, who's going to win the Super Bowl, right? So it's just amazing. It's amazing. But as always, by the way, 347-838-9525 if you want to call in. Twitter, The Madden Voice. Facebook, The Madden Voice. And you know what? Just go on and like the Facebook page. You guys listen every week. None of y'all go and like the Facebook page. I know who you are. I'm looking at you. Look over your shoulder. Yeah, that's me. Go ahead and like the Facebook page. But anyway, I don't do this by myself, so I do have two co-hosts. I'm actually going to introduce them in reverse order than the way I normally do, because I'm going to give my man his just desserts and his respect. But before I introduce the guy that I normally introduce first, let me bring on Madden Nation Season 4 contestant, one of the best Madden players in the world, the man who's probably thinking, like most of the world, that somehow or another everyone's thinking that the Pacers got to win tonight because it's such a big game over the Heat. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Whether they win or lose, they still got to go through Miami. I don't know what the big deal is, and that's not going to happen. Paul George is a beast, but the Heat are still the team to beat. Anyway, enough about basketball. Let's bring on K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Goodness, I love how you say, enough about basketball before I can even have a chance to respond to my Pacers. So let me go ahead and address this real quick before you just close this book. Listen, the Pacers are down 12 right now. It's not an enormous game. I mean, it's a nice game. It's a game to watch, but let's keep it real. It's December in the NBA. The Pacers and the Heat, they're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, barring injury. So, while it's a nice game to watch, it doesn't tell anything for how the rest of the season will play out.
But did you see ESPN? Did you hear all your Pacers? Did you hear all your Pacers? Paul George and Hibbert and all these guys talking about, they feel like, and I know this is an NFL show, and we're going to bring Train on in a second, but they feel like they need home field advantage, so they got to beat the Heat. And the Heat are like, we can beat y'all in Indiana. We ain't worried about it. I'm like, y'all done already lost. And the Heat and the Pacers are no joke. Don't get me wrong. I'm not disrespecting them. They can bang with the Heat. They can go toe for toe. But they have already lost, thinking that the only way they can beat the Heat is to get home field advantage. You've already lost. You got to know you can go to Miami and win that game. Sorry.
I mean,
you got to know that.
I mean, this is a young team. This is a young team, the Pacers are. But, like, of course, they shouldn't be saying that out publicly. But let's be honest. It would help a great deal if they did get home court advantage, because that was the difference last year in Game 7, I think. And, it's what they'll need. But again, this game, if the Pacers lose this game, they're 18-4. The Heat are 17-5. There's still a whole long
way to go. I had to give you something good to talk about, because if we go to the Steelers, then. But anyway, let's bring on the other co-host, whose very own Chicago Bears, Go Bears, Mike Ditka, retired number 89, very own Chicago Bears, Molly Watt, my Cowboys, beat them like they was their daddy. I got no excuses. Sorry, Adam, who thinks for some reason I make excuses why the Cowboys lose. I'm like, what show do you listen to? I have no idea where the heck that came from. I do not make excuses when the Cowboys lose, especially like they did last night. But congratulations. And before Train comes on the air, I do owe him this.
We are the Bears, the shuffling crew, shuffling on down, good as police. We're so bad, we know we're good, blowing your mind like we knew we would. You know we're just strutting for fun, strutting our stuff for everyone. We're not here to start no trouble, we're just here to do the Super Bowl show.
Well, they call me sweet.
Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Thank you, D. Bears serving out 40 burgers this season to my co-host.
Hey,
I don't know,
man,
what got into him, man. Somebody's got to tell Josh McCown he was a backup.
Hey, man, we're going to talk about the game, and but I just have to take exception to Adam, man, our very, very loyal, very, very solid fan from Australia, actually thinking that I make excuses when the Cowboys get beat. I don't make excuses. I take my lumps like a grown man. I mean, if you lose by 3 to Denver, 51-48, yeah, I can see how the Cowboys could have won that game. You lose by a point to Detroit when you were up by 10, yeah, I could see that one too. You lose by a point to Kansas City, yeah, I could see that too. When the Saints whooped them, I made no excuses. I made no excuses. And last night, I got no excuses. I mean, the Bears, you know, wait a minute, I'm just going, hold on, I got one more for you. I got one more for you.
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bullshit? Bullshit. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thank you, Denny Green, for the best sound bite ever in Chicago Bear history. Ever. Probably in the NFL.
And I'm not even going to say the Bears are who we thought they were. I'm just going to say the Bears did it. I didn't know that team existed, be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I'll have to say that. I was like, are they really who you thought you were, T, going into that game? Because if so,
Hell no. But you know what? I'm gonna make my comments. We are going to start off with this game because it was last night. But first, I have to yield to the victor and yield the floor to Dr. Train to go ahead and talk about his Bears putting a good old fashioned, you know, woodshed whooping on the Cowboys. Train, the floor is yours.
All right, man. Let me be honest. No Bear fan saw this coming. I will hope they play inspired ball, considering that we was retiring Mike Ditka's jersey. But no Bear fan saw this coming. And all the websites that I normally check and the people I talk to, we all like, man, we hope we can get this game. We hope the defense shows up. No one saw this coming. And, wow, to see the way Josh McCown played, the breaks we caught, I mean, it's kind of just wow. I just know general, you know, management would definitely have their hands full deciding what they want to do with their quarterback position, but that's not my problem. I'm just glad we won the game. Now, on the flip side of it, I'm really kind of surprised of the Cowboys on how they play, because that's also not what I expected. You know, offensively, I expect to see they ran the ball like I expected, but I still thought they would have some success in the pass game because we haven't had too much of a pass rush. It's been hit or miss. And I know I posed the question in the in our agenda. Well, you know, did the Cowboys relinquish the run game too early? And they didn't. They really didn't. The defense yielded too many points for the Cowboys to even keep running the ball. They couldn't. They had no choice but to pass. So with that, man, two thumbs up to Chicago offense for putting the game in a position where the Cowboys had to play. They had to play one way. They had no choice but to pass the ball, and it allowed the defense to just, you know, to make them one-dimensional and tee off. And true enough, we caught a couple breaks. You know, Josh McCown let out his inner cutler down in the red zone where Brandon Marshall was able to tip the ball out of Carr's hand that would have been really was intercepted until Brandon Marshall knocked it out of his hand. Another interception got called back off of a hold on Brandon Carr. I mean, we caught some breaks.
Questionable hold.
Say questionable.
Let me
I think it was a hold.
Yeah, well, it was questionable. But let me just say this.
Hold on. Before you speak, T, let me get this out before you speak. I do want to say this. All the critics can sit back. I don't want to get into a whole Tony Romo bashing. All I'm going to say is no team can win when all the production is coming from one side of the team. If your defense is yielding that many points, that many yards,
and can I talk about the
there's no way you can get back into a game.
I don't care what you do. You're supposed to be talking about the Bears. Can I talk about the Cowboys?
I'm talking about the game, man.
Yeah, I love what
my Bears did, but I'm just talking about the game.
Let me talk about the Cowboys, please. Don't steal my Cowboy thunder. Okay? Give me my moment, okay? I gave you yours. I took my hat off. But let me just say this, though. I do think that words that I said about a month ago are beginning to sound eerily omniscient when I said that Josh McCown may create a quarterback controversy in Chicago when Dr. Train dismissed it.
I agree with you, by the way. We also took it back the next week.
Well, you did take it back the next week. No, it wasn't the next week. I took it back last week based on a 2-2 record. I took it back last week based on a 2-2 record. That's why I took it back, because the bottom line is you still got to win. And on a 2-2 record, I said, okay, I'm going to let that go, because at 2-2, you know, that ain't enough. I do believe now you've got a legitimate quarterback controversy in Chicago, which I did say over a month ago would be the case. And I do believe that you have that now. Now, I don't care what Trestman says. You got a legitimate quarterback controversy. Let me talk about my Cowboys for a minute. First of all, if somebody had said to me that the Cowboys would score 28 points in the coldest regular season game they've ever played, ever. This was a record. Regular season game, the coldest game the Cowboys ever played in. And they would still come up with 28 points. Rush for 198 yards, averaging 7.1 yard carry. DeMarco Murray would carry 18 times for 146 yards. Tony Romo would throw 3 touchdowns, no picks, for a 109 quarterback rating. The Cowboys would not turn the ball over, and they would convert 50% on third down. Remember, against the Saints, they were 0-9 on third downs. Remember, if you go back about a game and a half, they were 0-16 on third downs, yet they were 5-10 against the Bears. If somebody had told me that, I would have said, oh, we got this game. Against Josh McCown, the backup, and I would have been wrong like a mofo, because the defense, even with Sean Lee, I can't even say Sean Lee leaving was an issue. Even with Sean Lee, the defense just was abysmal. There is no one on that defense that I could say played well, really put forth an effort that I could say, well, at least this person came to play. And I'm not saying they didn't come to play. They're professionals. They come to play. But they didn't produce. The defense was just abysmal. And I'm not going to take anything away from the Bears. They had a lot to do with it. But if you look at what's been going on with the Cowboys this season, this ain't the first time that offensive had their way with the Cowboys. So I'm going to give a lot of credit to the Bears, Marshall and our old Bennett. Creep, our old tight end. And, he's a creep. Forte, you know, I give the offense a lot of credit. They, you know, McCown played a great game. They had a great scheme. There were some calls that just had Dallas looking at each other and where's the ball. And if you're a Bears fan, I'm going to talk about your Bears, but if you're a Bears fan used to seeing dominant defense over the years, and now you know your defense just is a shell of what it was, I'm sure it was like heaven seeing this offense that you're just not used to seeing at this level. And the Cowboys certainly helped make that happen by being completely ineffective on defense. Completely ineffective. And so I'm concerned now because in the past I would say, well, bend but not break, give up a lot of yards, but keep the points reasonable and get turnovers. Okay, I like that better than what we had with Rob Ryan last year. I'm now losing my taste for this. I'm losing my taste for Monty Kiffin. I'm beginning to think Monty Kiffin needs to go, and let's promote Marinelli and give him the whole defense, and let's see what he can do as a defensive coordinator. I like his passion. I like his heart. And I'm not going to even play the excuse game. Yeah, we've got injuries. So does everybody else. I'm not even going to get into that. Now, they were talking about it on the game last night. Y'all heard 17 defensive players come through or defensive. I know all the stats. I get it. You know what? I don't care. I don't, like I said, Adam made his little comment on Madden Voice on the Facebook.com/Madden Voice. Check it out. Where he said, you know, we're going to hear reasons why, you know, the Cowboys should have won the game from the omniscient one. No. The way we played, frankly, the score doesn't really represent how bad that game was. Frankly, you got a late touchdown to make it like, okay, yeah, at least we got 28 points, but it was uglier than that. It was an ugly game. We got whooped. You know, it really felt worse than the Saints game, to be honest with me. You know, at least the Saints game, it was like we're playing Drew Brees. We're playing the juggernaut in New Orleans. You know, I can walk away and say, well, you know, you're playing one of the four horsemen, right, Train? Drew Brees and the juggernaut. And you can walk away and say, well, you know, ain't no shame in that. You package it away and say, well, you know, we're going to put that on the shelf. But now we went into Chicago and played, you know, a journeyman quarterback, and he whooped our butts. So, I mean, I got no excuses. I have no explanation. I'm just going to say this. My T-Bonics is going to go in a different direction, but let me talk to Cowboy fans just real quick. Do remember one thing. As badly as we played last night, we had one in the hole because we beat the Eagles. So we had one. We could give away one game. Just remember that. We had one game that we could give away down the stretch because if the Cowboys finish out and win – and, you know, Packers at home next week. Aaron Rodgers is still not cleared to play. And I'm not going to say I'm worried about Matt Flynn because who knows? Against Dallas, Matt Flynn could come in looking like Aaron Rodgers. But I like being at home a little bit better than being at 10 degrees below Chicago Stadium there. But you got Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you got the Packers probably without Aaron Rodgers. You got the Redskins in Washington, and granted, they're going to get up for that game, but they're a mess. And then you come back home to play the Eagles, which may very well be for the title. Well, that puts you at 10-6 if you win those three games. If the Eagles win out and then lose to Dallas, they're at 10-6. You've got the tiebreaker. You know, it's over. You won the division. So, Cowboy fans, slow down for a minute. Take a deep breath. It was a horrible, ugly game against the better team. Let's just call it like it was. They played like the better team last night. I give it to them. But the season's far from over. Slow down for a minute. All these people jumping off the bandwagon, go. Bye. Take off. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. We still got 3 weeks to go. Still control our own destiny. Just got to regroup after that shellacking that the Cowboys took last night. And the last comment I'll make, and I kind of piggyback and Train, can we at some point now, can we leave Tony Romo alone? Is everybody seeing what I've been saying? It is not Romo that is the issue. It has never really been Romo. Has he made some mistakes? Yes, he has. But he needs a team behind him. Eli Manning has two Super Bowl championships with a career quarterback rating of 82. Tony Romo has a career quarterback rating of 96. Why does Eli have two championships? Because those 2 years, Michael Strahan led that defense of man-eaters, and that's why Manning got those two Super Bowls.
Well, and Manning played really good as well. Like, I don't like when people say that. Like, he didn't play well, because he did.
Sorry, I was making my point. If you want to make your point, then you let me finish my point. Because first of all,
like
we can
point.
Be...
Go ahead.
You ain't got to like it. I don't care that you don't like it. You got bigger problems in Pittsburgh, 5-8. I think that's where your focus needs to be. Don't be worrying about the NFC East. You're pretty much done. Eli Manning won two Super Bowls because he had an aggressive defense that played very well. That is why. I don't know anything in that statement that said Eli Manning didn't play well. But he didn't play well enough. He didn't play Tom Brady-like. He didn't play Drew Brees-like. He didn't win those Super Bowls. Those defenses won those Super Bowls. That's why. And all our only point is that let's just remember that Romo's never had that. I don't know that he ever will, to be honest with you. I don't know that he ever will. I just don't see that ever coming out of Dallas. They just can't get that dominant defense like they had in the 90s. I don't see it happening. Anyway, Train, congratulations. You know, you needed this win. Well, hey man, you know what? Outside all of this, you're still my friend. We compete, but at the end of the day, we're still gonna be friends. And hey man, and I know if the Cowboys did it to your team, you'd be the first one to shake my hand and congratulate me. And did I not reach out to you last night and congratulate you on the win?
Indeed, you did.
Yeah, I just want everybody out there to know all these. Armchair fans out there that think for some reason that I'm not living in reality. Nah, man. I text Train last night, man. It was a great win for his team. And, hey, you know what? To be honest with you, we're going to talk about this in a little bit. I'm going to need the Bears' help in about two minutes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm here for you guys. I'm coming around. I'm just buttering you up because week after next, I'm going to be coming at you saying, can you help me out here, Dr. Train?
Hey, you see the token of appreciation we left you on Facebook, me and my lady?
Left me?
Yeah, I didn't tag you, but it's similar to the same thing I did last year when we played you.
No, I didn't. You didn't tag me, so no, I didn't. You really think today I was going to go on your Facebook page? I'll look at it. K-Star, did you have any third-party comments on last night's game?
Yeah, it was just, I mean, first of all, this isn't really a game you blame on Romo. I don't even like talking about it because to me it's just a non-factor. That defense was horrible. Not only was it a bad defense, it was also just really good execution and offense by the Josh McCown-led Bears. Listen, a couple of weeks ago you just had to say there was no possibility that Josh McCown was going to be that guy. Like, you just killed it off. Now that he's playing as well, I have a question for you. Now that he's playing as well, has your stance changed on that? Or are you still pro-Cutler? Like, are you still on the side of the Cutler fence? Because I could imagine that you are. And if you are, why?
Truth be told, yeah, I still am pro-Cutler for the offense. I think he's the longer-term solution for the offense. I think he would end up sticking around longer than Brown would. Even after this. I'm not going to take anything away from Josh McCown, but can I just say, for a defense that's supposed to be adopting the cover two, Cowboys played pretty bad on defense. And they really did miss some opportunities that would have changed that game. That interception that he couldn't hold on to in the end zone, that was huge. It came at a time where the Cowboys were still, you know, they were still in the game. Even the second interception that got, you know, hit with the holding penalty, both of them were huge. So
right.
He played.
But I'm asking you, I got to ask you, though, if Jay Cutler cleared a play, do you want him to start a quarterback for your Bears?
Yes. Yes, dude. Here's the thing. You have to find out what you have in Jay Cutler. You've already invested into him, so you got to find out.
No, they haven't invested. I mean, he's a free agent after the year. Do they really need to invest in him?
Yeah.
I would
think you need to. You have a sample size for Josh McCown. You know what he can do.
Oh, he's really good.
You have to find out what your starter can do.
Yeah,
and he was doing well in his offense before he got injured.
He wasn't doing as good as McCown is. Like, I looked into it earlier today because I was just curious because, I mean, if a situation like this happened in Pittsburgh, like, I mean, it really probably wouldn't happen to Benover. But let's just say that it did. And, you know, there's a backup who's playing tremendous ball at this rate. Like, you know, whether I would be like, all right, let's just get Ben back in there because he's healthy, or do you let this guy ride it out? But, like, McCown... Like, he has a higher touchdown percentage rate in his throws. I mean, he's turned the ball over at a much less rate. Like, Cutler has 8 or 9 total turnovers this year. You know, McCown has 1. I mean, the numbers, when you look at it, McCown's just played much better. Even offenses, like, points per game, McCown has a higher number than Cutler. 27 points per game, Cutler with 23. I mean, Cutler was playing well, but the defense played decent last night, but just – where you guys are at right now, where you guys are at as a team, I just don't see how you prefer color in the game.
Let me say, there's one stat that really shook me when you compare these two. And in the 7 games that McCown has played, he has a QBR, I believe they said, of 87. And there is no 7-game stretch in Cutler's history where he has matched that performance. And that surprised me because Cutler has played some good ball back in Denver and here in Chicago. But let me also say this. I think the decision to stick with McCown would be a sound one because he's the hot hand. But who's the future? Who's your team? It's Cutler. I don't think going forward, because I remember the Redskins having this very issue a few years back with a backup. His first name was Todd. I could not remember his last name. And he went in there. Now, Jason Campbell was a starter at the time. And, you know, I mean, Jason Campbell's actually starting to look pretty good over there in Cleveland. But, Jason Campbell has still been limited as his upward talents. But and this guy came in and had a nice 8-game stretch, and they stuck with him. But Campbell got the job back. But they stuck with him because he had the hot hand. And I do think there is something to be said for the offense now. These guys, they're used to him. You know, he's been the play caller, or not play caller, but he's been running the plays. He's been the one audible in. You know, they've been productive. And I do think now.
At that offense,
I wouldn't, right now, but yeah, I don't know.
Right
now they're playing better than when Cutler was playing, but that doesn't mean that – I mean, I don't know what that means. That just means right now they're playing better than when Cutler was playing earlier this year. But I don't think – I'd be very surprised if they brought Cutler back. As long as McCown plays as well. If McCown starts to slip, then you probably will see Cutler.
Right.
But if
and
McCown
I,
keeps
I agree
playing
with
at
that.
This level,
this guy's on
mean,
fire.
Train,
like,
would you be opposed to that, Train? As a Bears fan, as a supporter of Cutler, this is your team. Me and Kay start talking about it. But would you, if Trestler came out and said, look, we're going to ride the high hand. But, Jay's going to be available in case we need him. But we're going
to
ride
the
high hand.
You know, truth be told, I wouldn't be because it's to me, just like Lovie Smith being fired, I understand. Phil Emery has made some moves that have been better for the team. He's made more positive moves than negative moves for the team. On the outside looking in at the Bears, I'm looking like Josh McCown's playing well. Josh McCown can probably give you 2 more seasons on the Mark Trestman. You're coming up to a class of quarterbacks that's pretty deep. You know, you don't have often. You keep Josh McCown in, and you let your rookie learn on the bench. In 2 years, you bring him in. You have your franchise quarterback. But the thing you have to weigh is, you know, whether Josh McCown is able to get you all the way, because the Bears are in a win now. They're not in a rebuild. They're in a win now. So can they keep winning now with Josh McCown? Me personally, you know, I like Jay Cutler. I like the option of having that veteran that still has probably another 7 years left in them. But if they went a different way, nah. Wouldn't be upset, wouldn't be torn at all. Let's just keep it rolling. We got a lot of weapons around Josh McCown. And he can only get better in his offense.
Yeah, I mean, I just got to read this to you real quick. Like I was looking at earlier, I mean, McCown is averaging higher yards per game. He has.
Well, here's the thing, K-Star. Here's the thing before you even. I'm not big on stats because I actually watched the game.
I'm not either, dude.
You can keep reading them, but I don't want you to sit here and read and be like, yeah, you see my point and all. I'm not big on stats because I watch the Bears with both quarterbacks,
and you know which one turns the ball over and who doesn't. Like if anything else, you can pull all the stats out, and you can the most important stat in the NFL is what turnovers, right? Like. Cutler doesn't protect the ball at all. He has 9 turnovers this year.
And this season, I've watched the game. I've watched Jay Cutler's turnovers, and I've watched McCown play, and I see what he does. He plays safe. He plays the safest you can play with the ball. If he don't have a wide open window, he won't throw it. Last night was the first time I've ever seen him try to fit a ball into any window, which was very bad idea. Because he doesn't have the arm strength to do that. And nearly both times intercepted. One time was intercepted. So I don't look at stats, bro. I look at how they play.
It's called the eye test.
And with how they play, I like versus McCown. You know what I'm saying? I see what McCown does, and I'm not knocking it at all. But he also is in a system that's quarterback-friendly along with this is the most amount of weapons we've ever had. In Chicago,
look at Alshon Jeffrey just playing out of his mind this year.
The dude is a beast, man. The catch he caught in the corner end zone, literally, I'm going to tell
that
you.
That was gang.
I'm watching the game. He throws that ball. I get up like, man, that's going out. That's going out of the back of the end zone. I'm looking at it like, that's going out of the back of the end zone. And I'll be done if he don't catch it and come down with 2 feet.
Yeah, that was insane.
That was the game.
That was the game.
That was the game.
That was a dagger.
That was it because you get the ball first in the second half. And he was covered. You know what I mean? It wasn't like so many other plays where I'm wondering where's the coverage. No, there was two defensive backs there. He was covered. And that was one of the most remarkable catches I've seen this season. That was just – It was crazy. It was crazy. And when that happened, I said, oh, boy. It felt like the dagger to me. And I don't ever give up on my team, but it really felt like, yeah, I don't know how we're going to come back from this one, you know. But let's bring on your barber.
I knew he was waiting for this.
Let's bring your barber on. And, Saint, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Man, thanks for having me. Thanks for answering my phone calls. And I'm thankful that K-Star is back. I called in the show last week. They double teamed me. I said, oh, man, where's K-Star at?
Thank you for coming on the show. I heard the show, by the way. And I actually, real quick. Yeah, no, I heard
all
the show.
To say, Buck, that I hope they get rid of Jay Cutler. I'm going to tell you why.
Because you want him in Tennessee. You ain't got to say anything.
And guess whose name's coming up? Jay Cutler. And so they're calling for him already down here in Nashville, bro. And then people are calling for Lovie Smith's name came up. Because you know we're about to get rid of our head coach.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
are we talking about the Titans? Because I don't believe they're relevant right now. So are we really talking
about them? Make them relevant, though. If Cutler came to Nashville and Lovie Smith came as the head coach, that would make us very relevant right
well,
now.
Well, that's an off-season conversation. Cutler is still under contract with the Bears, and I don't think you're going to find him ending up in Nashville.
If this kid keeps balling out of control, how much longer?
He's 34 years old. This kid, this McCown, he's not 24. I don't think they're gonna make him the long term solution. He's not Nick Foles. He's a journeyman. He's been in the league 11 years. I mean, I don't see. Yeah,
if Jay Cutler ends up leaving, it's definitely because Chicago plans on making a. Drafting a quarterback first round.
Absolutely.
Definitely first round.
I agree with that.
But if there's any chance that Chicago makes the playoffs, guaranteed Cutler stays a Bear.
Yeah.
He doesn't go anywhere.
Man.
He does. I mean, it just makes sense. Guaranteed colors, find a way to keep McCown there as a backup.
So, I want to ask you, are you saying that the Bears in the playoffs with McCown as their starting quarterback, they're going to bring Cutler back?
Cutler's going to be back. Trust me, dude. The minute, if he can play this week, he's going to play. If he can't play this week and he can play next week, as soon as he's healthy, he's back in there.
And that's ridiculous.
I don't know, but
this guy McCown's on fire. Like, I understand. Rich Gannon was older.
Career.
Like, Jeff Garcia, too. Like, I know he's not the long-term plan, but, like, the thing is, I mean, how are you going to bench him? Like, it was so disrespectful.
Everybody's hung on McCown because Cutler hasn't been consistent in his past, and I get that.
Neither has he had
the weapons or the offense that he's had this season. And I don't know where you get the fact that McCown scored more points, because I don't really see that when I look back at the Bears game. It's not particularly the case.
Let's
not skew it with one horrible game. But you're skewed with it, 45. It's skewed because 45 was against the Cowboys. I mean, you know, that's not exclusive territory.
It's not skewed when the guy went nuts last time. The guy was tremendous. It's not skewed at all.
Big Cutler has never had that good of a game as a Bear. Hey, K-Star.
If this was Ben,
you'd be fighting.
He wouldn't be talking. If you wouldn't take the small size and be like, yeah, let's not get rid of Big Ben. You wouldn't do that.
Listen,
the reason why you're doing it is because you don't have a bunch of seasons of rapport of a good Cutler. But I'm trying to tell you, this is the first season we've had this many offensive weapons. I mean, two receivers, over 1,000 yards, 1,000-yard running back, and a tight end that can get it done.
And guess what?
And an offensive line that actually keeps them upright. Do you know Dallas had one sack last night?
Yeah.
And guess what? A journeyman quarterback.
And this offensive line has been doing this all season long, no matter who's been back there. So I'm telling you, the system is different, and it's good for a quarterback that can step in and get it done and not try to take it into their hands and make mistakes. Josh McCown has done that.
Hey, guys, hang tight for a second. Hang tight for a second. Hold on. We're going to go to the phones. I believe we have the younger Mr. Floyd here. Is this JB? Welcome to the Madden Voice.
You know this, man.
What's happening, brother?
Welcome back, little brother Floyd.
last week, I was going to come on Rain or Shine. I told you I was going to be here, and I'm here. And I know Train, we had talked last week, I took my cap to the Bears. I ain't too proud. I took my cap to the Bears. They did what they had to do. Cowboys defense didn't show up. Enough said.
You enjoy your 40 burger too?
Is that not my younger brother or what? Did we not?
It did. Much respect, man.
Were we not raised in the same house? That's exactly what I said to him. I got none, but you whooped us. I mean, that's really the bottom line. Let me just reset everybody real quick for the people listening out here. We are live Madden Voice Week 14 review. We are a little bit over time on the Chicago Bears Dallas Cowboys game from Monday night. We have myself, Commissioner T. We've got Dr. Train back with us this week. Is K-Star. Missed us last week. Also just joining us, you heard him last week, my brother JB is on the show with us. And of course, sitting in trying to talk about the Titans, which I'm still not sure why. The man on the line with us. If you want to join this conversation talking about the NFL, you can call in at 347-838-9525. That's 347-838-9525. You can go to Facebook and just go ahead, type in the Madden Voice in the search box. You'll see it. You'll see the little icon pop up and go to the page, post a comment, like the page, hang out, check us out there. Go to Twitter, at the Madden Voice. Comes directly into my inbox. Check us out. Say whatever you want to say. Follow me. I'll follow you back, and we'll talk some football. And before we get back to the show, my honey's in yoga tonight, so she's not listening to the show. But in case she catches the archive, what's happening, baby? Hope yoga was good. All right, back to football. back to football. Now, K-Star, you said you listened to the show last week. You were about to make a comment about last week's show.
Yeah, let me be clear. I don't know if you guys thought I was going to listen to this show, but I certainly did. And upon listening, I couldn't help but realize there were some just disrespectful comments made about the name of K-Star. Like, without me being there to defend myself, let me tell you something. Pete, you had said, and I quote, K-Star couldn't hold my jog strap to my picks this year. Isn't that right? Paraphrasing you correctly there?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. And Train confirmed that it wasn't even close. But anyway, go ahead.
Let me tell you something. Train's the same guy. Train's the same guy who laughed when I told him that the Bears were going to be swept by the Lions, and that happened. So I really don't care if Train was backing you up. It doesn't matter.
He's on this.
You're right. Right? Okay. I believe I can put to Facebook and say Steelers are going to run the table and get the sixth seed. I believe I can go there and see that right now. Or did you delete it?
There's a difference between being a fan. No. Okay, that wasn't on Facebook. That wasn't on their show. You never heard me say that. Hey, you actually heard me put the Steelers on record. Wait, on record. You actually heard me actually bury my own team, the Steelers, a few weeks ago, and it looks like I was kind of right because the same promise plagued us.
Were you right when you buried them, or were you right when you resurrected them? Okay, which was it? I'm just trying to be clear.
I buried them. They resurrected. And then they fell back in the grave that was already built. Did I create?
You convinced him to resurrect his team. That's what you did.
My point is.
That's why I'm up first, because I talked to him
on
his own team, didn't I? Didn't I, Train?
Yeah.
Talking to what?
I talked
resurrecting
to
them.
Your team.
Just goes to show you then that I should have just listened to myself, because clearly I don't know what's going on here.
Because you were great. You're right. I overrated your team. You're right. I did. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
I'm actually upset about it because I was destroyed last Saturday night when my heart and emotions were played with, but we'll get to that game later.
We will get to the Steelers. But was there more you wanted to say about last before we move on?
Yeah, because Saints on the phone. And I heard this man call in and call you out on you guys barely acknowledging the fact that a few weeks ago the Chiefs were, you know, the best team in the league, according to you guys. And that, you know, because the Broncos swept the Chiefs, it's not a big deal. You know, I still wasn't right. You know, basically eating no plate of crow. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, look, let me just tell you this. The same thing I told you a few weeks ago. The Broncos were better then. They're better today. Now you guys acknowledge that. And the fact that even after it happened, it was like a backhanded compliment to you. It was like, hey, you know what? Glad K-Star isn't on the show as it pertains to the Chiefs Broncos game. You know, I was wrong about it. You know, the Chiefs being able to get a split. But that's that.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have Powerball or Mega Millions in Indiana?
Powerball.
Okay. Powerball. The numbers are tomorrow night. Can you give me those numbers, please?
Stop it,
are you really comparing Powerball to the Chiefs?
Come on.
It's the most asinine thing to try to make a point in which doesn't have. This is ridiculous.
I wasn't done. Can you tell me the numbers that came out Saturday? See, you can tell me the numbers that came out Saturday. Because they came out. You can't tell me the numbers that are coming out tomorrow. You can guess. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. Okay? And I will say this for the last time for all of you people out there that don't seem to understand English, which I think I have a very, very good command of. When the Chiefs were 9-0, no one knew what was going to happen. We all had opinions. My opinion was they would split with the Broncos. I was wrong. That was a prediction. That was wrong. But to say that they were not the best team at 9-0 when they were the last undefeated team, that's just plain lunacy. That's just plain stupidity.
No,
Hold on. You're already trying to trick everyone because we all know what the question was. No. And you speak the English thing as well, so let's recap that.
Yeah, but your hearing is off.
The question that was posed.
That can go back and say, well, because this happened, you were wrong 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to let I'm not going to let you do that because it doesn't work that way.
No. You know what you asked? It was who's the best team in the NFL right now? Said the Chiefs. It wasn't. But hold on. Wait. And your whole reason was they're 9-0, which Of course, the record plays a big factor into why they'll be the best team in the league, obviously.
Undefeated.
However, wait. However, the question never was who has the best record in the NFL. It wasn't just who has the best record after 9 weeks or 10 weeks. It was who's the best team in the NFL today. Well, before you try to tell me that you have a great understanding of English language, just remember how you phrased the question.
You should really learn. You should really, you know, every time you do this, you lose. At some point, you need to learn from the master, okay? I'm trying to help. This is real simple. It's really not complicated like you're trying to make it. We don't know what the future is going to bring, but we know what happened. Okay? You're trying to now go into the future and use what happened and say, oh, I was right. No, you weren't, because you didn't know. You had an opinion. It's called a prediction. Do not fall into the trap.
It's called analyzing both teams. There were 10 games. There's 9 week 10.
Train, we got to keep K-Star grounded because he's getting pulled by ESPN. That's what they do.
Listen, man.
I didn't get pulled by that newspaper that said the Chiefs are 9-0, and then all of a sudden just believe all of a sudden they're the best. Yeah, I watched the game. I told you they were fraudulent. I told you they were tricking out a treat. I told you they were fools.
That was very hard
to call out.
Listen, there was no wrong answer to that question as far as who was the better team. We just gave our reasons why. And all we debated was why we thought your reason for choosing Denver, for not choosing Kansas City. We just debated why we thought your reason for not choosing Kansas City wasn't valid. That's all we did. If you wanted to say at that time was the team, you had your reason. We just debated that it's not valid because you were basing it of what would happen versus what has already happened.
And they destroyed backup quarterbacks for most of the season, and people bought into the fact that their defense is great. In fact, last week you even said, y'all, when the Chiefs play good defense, I mean, they're in every game. They're not playing the same way they were earlier in the year. You know why? They're playing elite-level quarterback competition, which they didn't play until Week 10 via Peyton Manning, and then Phillip Rivers, and Peyton Manning, and they got blown out.
K-Star, you didn't stick with the fact of what was already done. You were still trying to move forward to the next week, and all we were saying was just use what has happened in your argument. If you use what has already happened in the argument and you still felt that Denver was the better team, then by all means, bruh, cool. We can't argue against you. But you can't sit here and say, oh, well, Denver's the better team because they are going to beat Kansas City. We don't know. We didn't know that then.
Right.
Can I hop in, please?
Hear me out. We all watch football on television. We all watch these pundits. Okay, I don't like what they do. K-Star, you're getting sucked into their world of looking ahead and prognosticating what's going to happen and letting it affect what already has happened. Those are two separate conversations. You want to have a conversation on the future, then we're talking about an opinion, and we're talking about guessing, and we're talking about making a prediction. You want to talk about what has happened, now we're talking fact. The fact remained at that time that the Chiefs were 9-0. Now, for me and for Train, that meant they were the best team in the NFL. That wasn't enough for you? That's fine. You wanted to go, but you took it further and said, but the Broncos are going to. Well, that wasn't the question.
No, that's not the
issue. The issue was at that point in time.
That's not what I ever said. That's exactly what you said.
There was one loss.
There was one loss separating the two teams.
But I said that the 81 Broncos were
a better team, and you guys told me I'm crazy because the Chiefs are undefeated.
You also said that the Broncos were a better team, and they were going to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, and I said that they would prove that.
And I said, we don't know that.
That's not why. I just said it would happen.
Can I say something real quick?
The only reason why I brought it up last week is because at the time, we're just talking about a Broncos team who only lost one more game than KC. Y'all went crazy on K-Star for saying the Broncos was a better team. If it was just like a mutual agreement, okay, you got your opinion, we got ours. But now y'all went crazy like that was the dumbest decision he could have ever made just because KC was 9-0. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, but see,
we didn't go
And again, what I'm not going to let you guys do is change what happened. We were very hard on K-Star, not because he thought the Broncos were the better team, but because he was using the fact that he thought the Broncos were going to beat the Chiefs as to why. And that's not part of what we were discussing at that time. We were talking about what had happened. Based on the reference
you look at that transcript, and that's exactly what you were hearing.
Here's why the Broncos are better. And I said, oh, and by the way, eventually they play, you know, like in 2 weeks, I'm sure they'll also prove that they're
how you
better.
Did it.
Exactly. And the reason that's why they were. Like I looked at it and said, I looked at the Chiefs' level of competition. I compared them to a BCS team coming from a smaller conference versus an SEC team. And, like, that's all it was. It was fool's gold. It's not because I thought the Broncos.
You said, T, do you think the Chiefs are going to beat the Broncos? That's what
I
said.
After about 45 minutes,
tell
me why the Broncos were better.
This was in the conversation of who was the better team. And I said, right now, the Chiefs are the better team because they're 9-0. I don't know what's going to happen. I think they're going to split. But right now, undefeated, they haven't lost. They haven't lost, period. And you said, but do you think that they're going to beat the Broncos? That's what you kept saying. I mean, all you guys got to do is go back and listen. I know what we were talking about.
You kept looking at the standings. You just kept saying 9-0, 9-0. Like, that was the definitive reason as to why they're
better team. Definitive
reason. You guys got googly eyes for the goose egg in the loss column. You didn't actually look at the teams and why.
They're 10-3.
No, I did. I gave my reason. I don't want to rehash it because it'll
We don't need to rehash it at all. The fact of the matter is,
mine were valid. And they were valid. And I mean, you watch, you know NFL schedules. Denver and Kansas City played the same teams, and there was a difference between how many points teams scored against Denver versus how much they scored against Kansas City. And all I said was Kansas City formula was different for winning than Denver's. That was it. And to me, that's valid.
Well, and we're having this conversation like at 10-3, the Chiefs are scrubs. I mean, this is a ridiculous topic.
They're not scrubs.
It's ridiculous. They're 10-3.
No, they're not scrubs.
That's the conversation. They're 1-3. Is all I'm saying.
Well, they're 10-3 right now. You know, good
I'm
God.
I'm saying they're 1-3 since their conversation.
They got the second best record in the NFL. And we're talking about them like they're scrubs. I mean, guys, slow your roll for a minute. Let's give K-Star, you died for your Steelers to be 10-3 right now. Hey, say you
Who
died.
They had nothing to do with this.
Nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah, I'm just saying though. You're sitting there talking about this team like they lost three in a row. Got a nice win. They're 10-3. You know what? When you start off 9-0, I mean, you're building a nice little cushion. You can have a little slide and still be relevant. And they're very relevant in this AFC race right now. Even with the two losses to Denver, they're still right in the middle. They're still right there.
This is all the question I got. Was he crazy, though? Was he crazy for saying Denver was the best team in the league?
I'm taking it. You know what? I want to move on because y'all going to keep taking it out of context. I would rather move on to the next one. Remembering what you're saying, and you're going to take it completely out of context of what K-Star's true argument was. And he himself don't even remember his own argument. I would rather go to the next one.
That's ridiculous.
This is a revolving circle. I
don't
want to do it.
Only reason for saying
don't remember his saying. I advise you to go back and listen to the transcript because I know what his argument was. I just want to move on to the next topic because this is revolving.
Gentlemen, that ain't right.
Gentlemen, I'm going to answer the question and then we move on. I stand by everything I said that night. Yes, he was crazy, not because of what his belief was, because of his reasoning. When you're talking about any team and where you see them ranked power ranking-wise, to look into the future is not relevant. You look at what has gone on in the previous weeks up to that point, period. And that's what the conversation was. And at the time, even though K-Star is denying this, I will assure you that training
–
Can I finish? Because he asked me the question. Train and I are not – we're not crazy here. At the time – K-Star mixed his love for Peyton Manning and the overwhelming offense that the Broncos had done and the dominance that they did, that they've displayed with what he thought was going to happen in the future. And K-Star has done this a number of times with Park because he believes what's going to happen in the future. So he picks teams. And I've had to reel him back to say, K-Star, you're losing your credibility by doing that. And then he's even tell him I'm right. He's even went and
– did it one time.
Yeah, and went back and said, you know what, you guys, let me go ahead and change that. So I know we've been doing this for years with K-Star, and the one area that while K-Star is an excellent football mind, knows a lot about teams, knows a lot about, you know, the schemes and matchups and stats, and love having him on the show, and he's excellent. The one area that him and I always knock heads is when he looks into the future to try to determine the present. And that's where I reel him back in and say, no, son. You don't know what the future's going to bring, but you know what now is. And so when he started doing that, that's when I said he was crazy.
Okay. Right. Now, just misunderstanding right there. Okay.
All right. I'm clear. All right. Real quick. Well, we've kind of, you know, but we'll get back to the NFC North because we spend a lot of time since we have K-Star here, and you know, I know he wants to talk about his Steelers. I don't know why, because they're no longer relevant. But we're going to go ahead and let him do that, because Steelers almost pulled off the comeback win last play of the game. K-Star, I'm going ahead and just give you the floor on this one, because y'all almost won that game on the play of – that would have been a play you would have saw for the next 100 years. And yet he stepped out of bounds. K-Star, talk to me.
That was legitimately the highest of highs you could feel as a football fan, and then the pit, the lowest of lows you could feel, all in a sequence of about a minute and a half. The play itself was very long. It probably was like 30 seconds or whatever. It was like 10-plus laterals. You all have seen it by now. I don't need to describe it. But when it happened, let me just tell you this. I was going crazy. I was jumping around because I saw Antonio Brown flying down the sideline, looking like we're about to pull off the most incredible, you know, comeback play of all time. And I surely didn't think he was out of bounds when it happened. I was too busy, overwhelmed, and consumed in sheer happiness, in sheer emotion. Like, we just won the Super Bowl all over again. It was comparable to that type of feeling. No, I'm serious. It really was. It was comparable to the feeling we got when the Steelers won Super Bowl in 05 for the first time under Bill Cowher. Like, I was so happy. And, like, I was jumping around the house. The dogs were barking at me. I did not care at all. And I look at the TV, and I don't see a touchdown symbol or signal by the refs yet. And then I see some refs standing by, like, the 13-yard line looking down at it all funny. And then the announcers went on to say that, oh, he stepped out of bounds, and the refs are blowing him down to 13. That was awful. I don't want any of you out there to ever experience what I felt. If you are a Steelers fan, which many of you are, because Steelers Nation runs deep, that was just cruel. That was the meanest thing that anyone could ever do. Because, I mean, yes, we suck. But let me tell you something. Like, it would have been okay to suck and get the most miraculous win of all time in this season. It would have redeemed the season even if we didn't make the playoffs. If we went 8-8, you know, the rest of the way, but still had that moment to relish and always remember and look fondly on, like, I think the season would have been forgotten, or actually it would not have been forgotten. It would have been remembered for that one play. And so everyone out there, I just want you to know it was awful. It was the most devastating feeling, and it was the happiest that I felt, like, in the span of, like, again, like a minute. And so I just want everyone out there to never have experienced what I did. And for those who did, I hope that you can recover, because whenever I see that play, I just get really, really depressed and sad. And I might need to see my doctor and get some Prozac, because that was awful. Again, I don't wish that upon anyone. T, I hope that never happens to you. Train, like, seriously. Like, I'm horrible.
Last year, Dez Bryant caught a miraculous late catch against the Giants, And they called it a touchdown. And because he's got hands big as Michael Jordan, the little tip of his index finger hit the end line and they overruled it. I know exactly how you feel. Not quite as miraculous as that play. It was a great catch by Dez last year. Went up over everybody. It was a Calvin Johnson type play. But nothing like the freaking Stanford marching band play that I saw your team do with all the laterals and all of that. And but I feel you. I feel your pain, particularly in your case where, you know, now you're 5-8 instead of 6-7. And 5-8, you're on the outside. I mean, you're pretty much done. 6-7, you still got a fighting chance to maybe slip in. And at 5-8, yeah, that's rough because, you know, I think pretty much your season's done. And to have it in like that is rough.
It's just awful. All I'm going to say, man, is blame it on the snow that he couldn't see. Clearly, I don't see how he stepped. I mean, he had so much room over there. The dude was diving.
Yeah, I know. He didn't have to go.
Brown was gone. And, you know, I hadn't seen – I picked you guys to win, and when you lost, I was just like, dang, man, Steelers lost. I hadn't seen the play by then. I hadn't seen any highlights from the game. When I saw how you lost, I was just like, ooh.
Yeah, no, that hurt.
That's got to hurt.
It was pretty
awful. I'm giving you a virtual hug over that one. But, yeah, I don't see how –
Let's not get crazy. I ain't getting a fam hug.
Virtual hug. I mean, if I can't get a virtual hug for that, Pete, from you, then I'll be willing to get a hug. Because, devastating.
Nah, because it's still the Steelers. I mean, I'm sorry.
I don't wish that upon anyone. Like I said, I don't care who you are. That was just awful.
Hell yeah, okay. Boy, if that had been the Cowboys, boy, you'd be talking about me all night. I don't even know what you're talking about. Let's move on. JB, you still there?
Oh yeah, I'm waiting for the dude to get them numbers. I want to hit the lotto too. I'm broke as hell.
JB, I'm gonna ask you a question. I want to get your take on RG3 situation and what's going on in the Redskins. I'm gonna bring you in this one, you know, because I know you a Cowboy fan. And I know you follow the NFC East as well. What are your thoughts on the RG3, Mike Shanahan, Washington Redskins debacle going on over there in D.C.?
Well, I don't know if I'm watching The Young and the Restless or The Bold and the Beautiful. It's a dang soap opera. I ain't got nothing to say about it. Now, I don't care because it's the Redskins. The Redskins. I don't care. They can sit RG3 down. They can stand them up. They can run them sideways. I don't care.
Train, do you think Shanahan's out?
Man, I hope you set this thing for a 3-hour show because this might be. I'm trying not to be long-winded. Look, man, when I think of RG3 situation, I think of Vince Young. I think this is the exact same situation. I think this is one of those situations where the owner steps in and makes a draft pick that he shouldn't make. He should allow the coach to do what the coach needs to do, the GM or whatever, to handle the draft to get the talent because they're going to set everything up for their guy. And it's evident that RG3 was not Shanahan's guy. And now with Snyder being the owner, he's been stubborn even about changing the name. So, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I believe Shanahan is gone because if he's not, then RG3 has to be gone. And when, if you're really going to try to keep both of them there next year, then you're going to have Vince Young, Fisher, all over again, and RG3's career is gonna be the career to pay for it. His career is gonna be the one to go downhill for it because he needs a coach to back him, and it's obvious that Shanahan is not backing him. And it's not all, you know, on Shanahan. Trust me, RG3 has brought some of this on himself, putting himself in the media like he has, making himself a brand instead of about being about the Redskins. Being more about RG3 than about the Redskins, all the talk that he did in the preseason, it's coming full circle now. He was afraid his job was going to get taken in the preseason. That's why he wanted to get back. He was afraid Kirk Cousins was going to come in, play well, and take his job. That's why he wanted to get back on the field so bad without being fully healthy. And now you see the full circle of that. You see all the benefits of that. So you got to break up that marriage. For the sake of RG3's career.
Let me jump
and
on
risk,
in with
that matter.
Because Train, I agree with probably about 95% of what you just said. Shanahan is gone. He's almost like a lame duck right now, and I really think everything came off the tracks when RG3 got hurt at the end of last year. If you want to start from where everything really became an absolute mess, it started when he got hurt, then all the debates about when he's coming back, and then all the debates about Shanahan and Snyder and what they were doing with RG3 and whatnot, because I'm going to tell you, like the old adage goes, winning cures everything. If the Redskins were 10-3 instead of 3-10, we wouldn't even be having these conversations right now. The fact of the matter is this. He's been hurt all year. They never sat him down. They for starters, they shouldn't have put him in to start the season because he didn't have a preseason. So he's basically been working through getting the rust off, getting the timing down, trying to get 100% healthy. He hadn't looked right up until maybe week 9 or 10, and even then it was only showing flashes of how he was looking last year before he got hurt. They should have had Kirk Cousins in there because he was doing an admirable job in the last year when RG3 was hurt. Let him do what he's got to do to keep the team going. When RG3 is deemed 100% healthy, can do the things that he's used to doing, especially when he came in rookie season, he was running the rock, he was doing the read option. They were a dangerous team because he was healthy. You can't have that same offense. And it's almost like what we talked about last week, training with the Bears and Cutler versus McNown. You almost have to tweak your offense because if you don't have him there, you can't have him out there doing the same kinds of things, and you have to adjust for that. It starts in practice. And I don't think they took all of that into consideration, and now you're seeing the mess that's occurred from it all.
Exactly.
K-Star,
exactly.
Thoughts?
We can't fit RG3. I mean, of course he was going to struggle this season, or at least early on, you know, as you guys beat back under him, like pretty much literally, you know, as we were saying, like, no training camp, no preseason. We're going to have some bumps and rust along the way. My concern, though, for him is just the fact that within the pocket, his pocket awareness, his pocket presence isn't very good. Like, he doesn't seem to – I don't think it's a speed thing. I don't think it's an agility thing. I just don't think he can feel the rush quite as good as you would hope. And so when you take away that read option, you're taking away and the threat of it. You're taking away his ability to have easy, clean passing lanes because people are preparing for the zone read. So, I mean, him this year, these last few games, they still need to let him develop, take some bumps along the way, and keep building his skill set, his decision making, in hope that he picks up those better pocket awareness. To sit him down is just pointless. Like, I don't see what gain could be come from that. Like, it's just saying it's going to hurt him and damage him psychologically.
But that's where you're right. That last sentence should have been the first one, because I think that injury has done more psychological damage than anything else has occurred. Because if you look at the tape and the footage from last year, even when they would have plays where he's not doing the readout, he's dropping back like a regular pocket quarterback would, he's still able to pick the defense apart. When you have your knee surgically repaired, and you've got people flying around your feet, you start wondering about it. I mean, you remember when I had my ankle reconstructed, I was worrying about coming down on people's feet wrong for a good couple of months because I didn't want to have to go back on the operating table. And I'm quite sure he was thinking the same thing. People flying around his feet, he goes turn one way, knee goes the other, he got to start all over again. When you get injured and have a major operation and you come back and you know you're not 100%, that additional damage done to you, it's almost compounded, and it's going to take even that much longer to be 100% healthy, both physically and mentally.
Let me just help you guys out here, because you're dancing all around it, but none of you guys are capturing the essence of the reality. You're dancing, you're there. You know, it's kind of like going to the club and you're over in the corner dancing, but the dance party's right out there in the middle of the room. Okay, I'm gonna bring y'all to the middle of the room. I'll bring y'all to the dance party. First of all, you are right. Whoever said RG3 created this, he created this problem, number one.
That would be me.
And that was 100% on point. Because when he was hurt, he immediately started advertising, about when he would be back and guaranteeing that he would be back from game one. So while I respect my brother's thoughts on the mental aspect of the injury, RG3 didn't allow any wiggle room because he committed to be back for week one. He did that, which was a big mistake. But let's go back even further. This draft pick is not Mike Shanahan's. Period. This was not Mike Shanahan. So why is Mike Shanahan saying, I may shut RG3 down for the rest of the season? You do not shut down your franchise quarterback. You don't. There's no such thing as I want to protect. I have never been watching football since I was a little boy. I have never heard that before. Ever. We're just going to shut him down for the rest of the year and just put him up on the shelf. No. You play him. That's what he's getting paid to do. You play, period. If he's hurt, he shouldn't have played in the first place. You don't shut him down at 3-10. Do you remember last year when Shanahan said, I'm evaluating people for, they were 3-6 and we're going to be evaluating people for jobs, and people said, well, what are you writing off the season already? Well, we're just looking ahead to see who's going to be employed next year or not. And then they went on a 7-game run. Remember that? Shanahan knows he's done. He's all done. And I'm going to tell you the mistake that was made. They hired Shanahan to take them back to the promised land. You do not hire Shanahan to take you back to the promised land. I will ask you guys all a trivia question. How many quarterbacks have won Super Bowls with two different teams in the NFL? How many head coaches have won Super Bowls with two different teams in the NFL?
Ooh. I don't know that one. I haven't been alive long enough.
The answer is zero. The answer is zero. You don't hire a Shanahan to win a Super Bowl because you know that's not going to happen. You hire a Shanahan to go in and rebuild the team and to build a basis. You bring him in for three or four. That's why they brought back Joe Gibbs a few years ago. We need to get this team not to win a Super Bowl. You know that's not going to happen. You hire him to come in and redo the team. The problem is what Shanahan wanted to do didn't match what the front office wanted to do. So Shanahan is all done. RG3 is the future, period. Shanahan is all done. And right now, he's doing whatever he wants because he knows he's out of there. Did you hear him on the interview? Clean my office out? What, are you kidding me? I got two notebooks and an iPad. I can be out of there in 2 minutes. Does that sound like someone who plans on being here next year? He's gone. And he knows he's gone. And thus why he's saying, I'm going to shut down RG3. Not because he really wants to. Come on now. He coached John Elway. John Elway was hurt like a – can't say it because I'm trying to keep this a family show. And who was in the game? Who was in late in the seasons when they were 6-8 and 6-9? John Elway. So, no, he don't believe in that. He's doing whatever he can to rattle Daniel Snyder because he knows he's out of here. So I'm going out on my terms. That's what he's doing. And, yeah, I'm going to sit or I'm going to at least talk about sitting your superstar quarterback because I didn't like him anyway. And I'll put in Cousins because that was my guy. That's what we're talking about. Washington is a mess. They are a whole mess, and I'm happy as heck that they are. I'm happy as heck that they are, but they are a whole mess. That is worse than a soap opera. That's a civil war happening right up in there.
Right ahead.
And I mean, they do. And, the problem, one of Snyder's problems, is, if you're the owner, you don't need to be the GM and the head coach, and you can't buy a championship team. Dude, you need to fertilize that. You need to let that grow.
The Redskins have been trying to do that for years. They've been trying to do
that. Yes, they have, exactly.
They've always tried to buy
it. Ever since he bought it, and it's not working.
No, it has never worked, and it will never work. So, all right. Enough about another team that's not going anywhere. That's just useless. Seahawks lose to the 49ers.
Oh, T. One more thing, man. I have to give you props. I really have to give you props because I blew it off when that draft happened. But you called it like immediately after the draft when we had that special show, and you said, "Hey, there's something wrong with them drafting Kirk Cousins right here." and they drafted RG3 with the second pick overall. Mm. Lo and behold, this is exactly what we're seeing.
Well, you know, and dare I to recreate history when I was, even before I donned the name the Omniscient One, showing everyone that I am the Omniscient One, but yeah, there was something not right, and I couldn't put my finger on it, I couldn't identify it, but there was something wrong with that. I believe K-Star said there's nothing wrong with a fourth round pick as your backup, which, okay, that's not the same thing.
I said the same thing. Because they didn't have any backups, so I said the same thing.
Well, and I'm not knocking the point. I'm just restating the point that, okay, both of you said it, and you're right. If you have the luxury of having a fourth round quarterback as your backup, but just something didn't seem right that they went after both these guys in that draft, and clearly now we are seeing the culmination of what was wrong. There was two different philosophies in that draft, and it was the beginning of a civil war. And it is now, I mean, you know, what the rumor of Shanahan packing his bag and was ready to go last year and all types of stuff that's now coming out. And you know what is sad about it, though? I could give two hoots about the Redskins, but, you know, you have a Hall of Fame coach like Mike Shanahan who, I'm going to tell you now, I don't see him getting hired, to be honest with you. I really don't. You know, I think his career is tainted now, where he's going to be sitting on the sidelines for a little while. You know, that's all I'm saying. I mean, time will tell. Let's see how his last few games play out this season. But I think he's really tainting his reputation with all of this stuff that's coming out in the media and the way he's handling it. I don't think is the best way that it could be handled.
Well,
but
I don't know that to be the case because of what happened with Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher immediately got the job. But, of course, he handled that situation probably a little bit more professionally than Shanahan is handling it right now.
Well, but Jeff Fisher was there for 11 years, you know, and I think it was a little bit different. Shanahan and Jeff Fisher had some pretty good seasons under his belt. I mean, Shanahan, other than last year, hasn't done anything. He's done nothing in, 4 years he's been in Washington? He's done nothing, and he's going to finish off doing nothing. And Fisher, you know, Fisher took him to a Super Bowl. Did they make a Super Bowl? They didn't go to Super Bowl. They were one play away from getting in the Super Bowl, right? I mean, he's had some pretty good seasons with the Titans back then. So I do think that's a little bit different.
I will say Shanahan did have the Redskins win that division last year, T. I think you remember that game quite well, Week 17.
Talking about, man, I'm having a mental block. I'm having a mental block because I think your Steelers haven't made the playoffs 2 years in a row. Is that what we're talking about? I don't remember. Anyway, let's talk about the Seahawks. Seahawks lose to the 49ers. And, you know, before I bring you guys in, kind of what you think on the, you know, the issue is, you know, why are the Seahawks two teams? You know, at home they are unbeatable, and on the road they're a different team. But I got to tell you what really bothered me. Just like we started off talking about the Pacers and the Heat, and the Pacers putting so much emphasis on this game tonight, so early in the season, I did not like the 49ers really acting like they won the Super Bowl by winning that game. I really didn't think that was okay. Yeah, you won and you beat your arch rival, but I don't think Seattle cared. I mean, they lost, they didn't like losing, but I don't think it shook them. I think the 49ers were more happy than the Seahawks were upset. They were just like, okay, you know, you got us, but we know who we are, where it was almost like San Francisco needed that game to prove to themselves that they were still on, they could still compete with the Seahawks. Where the Seahawks know, they win, lose, or draw, we know who we are. San Francisco is like they were questioning their identity, and all that celebration was, whew, yeah, okay, we can still compete with these guys. Thank you. I that doesn't bode well for right now. I'm not pleased with that. If I'm looking at it objectively, because I don't have, you know, neither team means anything to me. So I think that's problem for me looking at that game. But Train, let me ask you, you know, Seahawks, is there a problem in Seattle, or is this a division game? And, hey, you know, went down to the wire, they lost, but, hey, Seahawks are still the team to beat. What do you think?
I still do think the Seahawks are a team to beat because for San Francisco to have a game, true enough, they did need to prove something. I'm sorry, they got smashed. They got smashed in Seattle to play in a division rival team that they were able to beat years prior. So, you know, 49ers need to make a statement, but it was a game that still came down to the wire. It's a game that really showed that Seattle can still play away from home.
Hold on. Weren't the 49ers just in the Super Bowl?
They were.
Okay, so why would they – they got smashed one game.
Yeah.
Why does that mean they got – why would they have to have that mentality of having to prove something? To me, that's the problem. You were just in the Super Bowl. You were just representing the NFC in the Super Bowl, and now you're playing this team who did smash you. I'll give you that. And now you feel like you have to prove something to them? Where's your swagger?
They feel that way probably because, in my opinion, they feel that way because all the hype is around Seattle.
Yeah, but Seattle's going to win that. I mean, the thing is, Seattle's going to be at home anyway, so I'm not sure why the Niners are so, like, good. Yeah, it was a good win for them, clearly. But it doesn't change the fact that Seattle's going to be at home. They're going to have to go into Seattle and play them at home and beat them at home. And if they, you know, splitting against Seattle should be the expectation, not the height of their jubilation. Okay?
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of digging where K-Star's going. You should expect to win this game. You should know that you can win this game. And, yeah, you can be happy you won, but there was more than happiness. There was a relief. There was a whoo. That's where my problem is. And I don't think that bodes well in the playoffs because Seattle knows they can win. I mean, them boys know what they can do. And last year, it was the same thing. San Francisco was that same team. They had that same strut. They knew what they can do. And this year, that strut to me is missing. It's like your swag is now in Seattle. And how you go? I don't care where you're playing at. How you plan on competing with them in the future or with anybody if you ain't got that sweat? You gotta have that. You gotta have that.
Mm-hmm.
You had it last year, and it took you to the Super Bowl. You had just as a physical defense last year as Seattle did, just as physical. And yet this year, now all of a sudden, you gotta acquiesce to them. And a Harbaugh coach team who preaches in heart. You know, it just didn't fit. It just felt off to me. It just felt off to me. That's all I'm saying.
I get your point. I really do.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
And right now, they are still the underdogs to Seattle.
Yeah, and that, and
everyone
you
is.
Know, I could never see a Patriot team acting that way to the Broncos or, you know, to the Chiefs or, well, maybe the Colts have kind of slipped, but the Bengals or the Colts. You know, I could never see a Patriot team doing that, a Bill Belichick coach team doing that. You know, they're going to – I don't care what their record is. They're going to walk in there knowing that they can win any game they win. And if they win, yeah, we're happy we won, but we're not having a freaking Gatorade party on the sidelines. It's 24 hours and then on to the next game. That's all I'm trying to say. Speaking of the Patriots, K-Star, Patriots without Gronkowski. And let me just say this. You know, there comes a point in time where you know, just as we talked about come on, Train. Your point guard and the Bears point guard.
Derrick Rose,
thank you. Just like we talk about Derrick Rose, and I know this is a football show, not a basketball show, but just said we had to feel bad for Derrick Rose, another injury out for the season, although he's saying it, you know, playoffs he might be able to play. But
he might come back. I'm saying the conference finals might look different.
Yeah,
right,
well,
no.
Yeah.
But, don't do it to yourself.
Don't set yourself up like that. But first of all, on a personal level, you got to feel for a guy who's been out as many games as he was, the surgeries he's had, the back, the forearm, all of that, and finally comes back, back in his old 6'7", you know, 265 pounds, just a man child. Arguably between him and Jimmy Graham, best tight ends in the game. And to go out again, PCL, MCL, ACL, whatever the hell was torn. Two of them were torn, out for the season. You got to feel for the guy on a personal level because, you know, that's a year rehab right there. That's a full year, you know. But, you know, getting away from the personal side of it, and we wish him, you know, just as a human being, you got to wish him well. But just as going to football side, K-Star, what are your thoughts now? I mean, we already know, you know, we haven't talked much about it because there really hasn't been many developments, but Aaron Hernandez is still in jail. He's no longer a Patriot, so he's off the table. You know, Welker is in Denver, and Amendola, he's in, he's out, he's playing, he's hurt, he's there. They do have Edelman. You know, now Gronkowski being out, how is this going to affect the Patriots moving forward, in your opinion?
Well, to me, without Gronkowski, I mean, the Patriots' offense was finally starting to click these over the past month. Like, ever since he came back, especially with Shane Vereen, you know, coming in there, you know, the Patriots' offense has been very, very good, and it needed to be because, you know, the Patriots already suffered enough injuries. They're without Vince Wilfork and basically their ability to stop the run and control the line of scrimmage. And now they're without the guy who consistently moved the chains and scored the majority of their touchdowns the last few years as a pass receiver. To me, it takes them away. It actually takes away from the AFC a lot because it kind of puts Denver in a situation where there's almost no excuse as to why they shouldn't win the AFC. The Patriots are still very good, clearly, but losing a guy like Gronkowski, who's arguably always the best player whenever he steps on that field, just in general, from a skill position standpoint, quarterbacks, you know, notwithstanding, it's crushing. And, again, for the Patriots to be flowing like they were, we have to turn the page back a little bit. Remember how bad they were offensively for a while. So for this is horrible for them. I mean, of course, they're going to win the AFC East. It's bad. But I don't see them being a serious or legitimate threat to, A, get the home field advantage from Denver, because I don't think they'll be able to keep up. And moreover, when they play Denver, they're like, they have a gun, and they're without their biggest, you know, bullet. Like, they're just done. Like, they can't, it's tough. You can't replace Gronkowski. They'll try, but injuries have killed the Patriots season so far, and I don't think they're legitimate championship contenders whatsoever anymore.
Did he just say injuries have killed the Patriots season?
Wow. I don't know if 10-3 is a killed season.
As legitimate championship contenders, I feel like it has. Like, as far as their aspirations, I feel like they need to be scaled back a bit.
All right, well, let me help you put this in perspective a little more from our point of view. Simply put, the quarterback is who?
Tom Brady.
He's one of the what? Say it again, T. He's one of the what?
He is one of the four horsemen. Yeah, buddy.
Okay. And the head coach is who?
That would be Bill Belichick.
And what was that record before Gronkowski came back? Oh, okay. It was winning. They were still top of the NFC East. AFC East.
Absolutely.
Look here. Their chances are still good as long as Tom Brady is the quarterback. I don't care what anyone says. Okay? Games still have to be played. Understand the whole statistics and what Gronkowski does for the offense. I'm not taking that away. He makes it better, no doubt. But don't think that they're not going to find a way to get around this like they've done all season long. No one in that division has bothered to step up. And they're sitting at 10-3. With a raft of injuries on both sides of the team. Yeah. Okay.
You don't think their expectations at all, realistically, for what they can do, and the fact that they would, first of all, they need to keep up with Denver, because if they finish the same record, I mean, they hold the tiebreaker with them, they'll get the home field advantage. You still think that they have a legitimate chance to do that
as long as Tom Brady is the quarterback and Belichick is the coach, yes. Yes, I really do.
Tom Brady, you've seen
what they've done. They have a history that shows that they can get it done.
Yeah, absolutely they do. I mean, listen, Tom Brady, one of the greatest of all time. I'm not disputing that. What I'm simply saying is when you lose Gronkowski, in addition to, you know, like Wolf, or like, they have to score points regardless, because they're not going to be able to, you know, stop teams just on defense alone when they can't control the line of scrimmage. They get run all over without Wilfork. And to combine, you know, lately they've been scoring so many points that really hasn't mattered. But I'm just saying, when you lose a Gronkowski, you're going to feel it. It's going to affect you. You can't just, you know, act like the man just, you know, is irrelevant. He's one of the best players in the NFL.
I'm I'm not saying the man is irrelevant. I'm not saying it. What I'm saying is I'm putting more on what they currently still have left based on what they lost. And also, history this season has already shown that they can win games with Dalvin Cook. They've done it. They were doing it before he came back. Yes, they
and
got
they
better when he came back. I'm not taking that away. But now this puts them back where they were before. San Marino's still back because at one point they had neither of them.
Yeah.
So they're going to find a way to get it done offensively. And, yes, they are still a scary team as long as Tom Brady is at the helm. When Tom Brady get injured, then we can talk. Then we can talk about the Patriots being in trouble.
Are they, you know, a team, though, that with the rash of injuries they've suffered, a team that you think still has a very good chance of winning the AFC without Kalski, Wolfsburg, those guys?
Yes. Yes. If you think they don't, then you are clearly neglecting Patriot history and what they've already been doing this season. But okay.
But defensively, man, they're just they're bad.
Look, I'm not sucking up to what these analysts say every time someone goes out. Like they look at the stats and they be like, oh, their red zone was such and such with Gronkowski, so I don't know how they're gonna find a way like they've been finding. They were finding a way to win when they didn't have him. They're gonna find a way to win when he's gone.
You know what I'm saying?
We're talking about the AFC playoff. We're just talking about the playoffs. We know they're gonna finish out the season.
Okay, now here we go. We're getting on the projection thing. Those playoff game is a different atmosphere, and it has to be played. And if it's gonna be in Foxborough, if it has to come through Foxborough, oh, that's a whole other different atmosphere than having to go through Denver.
Right, but it certainly hurts.
And they will be ready. They will be ready, but you can't truly predict playoff games. They are some of the wildest games, dude. It's a totally different atmosphere. The game still has to be played. My whole point is, as long as Tom Brady is at quarterback, the Patriots have a chance to go all the way. The minute he goes down is the minute I say, yeah, hang it up.
Let me say this. And the reason I didn't say much is because, you know, Dr. Train was on a roll, and you know, there really wasn't much to add, but I will say this. You know, when you get into the playoffs, experience really matters. There is no coach quarterback combination in these playoffs that will have more experience or even as much experience as Belichick and Brady. It's not out there. You go ahead and hunt. Look at all the teams that will or might make the playoffs. You will not find more experience than Belichick and Brady, and that's going to matter. Even though Peyton Manning's been in the league just as long as Tom Brady, he's got a new coach. He's in his second year with John Fox, so that's a different relationship. It's not like he has Tony Dungy, you know, back there. Okay, so. And I'm not saying Denver, you know, I believe we're probably looking at potentially a Denver-New England AFC championship game, the way things are shaping up, but who knows? Who knows what those Bengals are going to do? Don't sleep on those Bengals. And I'm telling you, still don't sleep on those Chiefs. I'm just saying, you know, there's still some teams there that could shake things up. I'm pretty much not sold on the Colts anymore. You know, they're
going to be.
Well, they're the tale of two teams. They show one week that they can beat anybody, and then the next week, I don't know what happens. So I'm no longer I can't say that.
Well,
I'm not off the bandwagon, but they're just not consistent enough right now to go up against a Denver or a New England or Cincinnati at this point. They're just not.
Not without Reggie Wayne, that team's imploded since Reggie Wayne's left the season with his injury.
Yeah, but that's a good example because you got a mega star like Reggie Wayne, you know, consistent, one of the most consistent wide receivers in the league, right? 14 years he's been doing it, and that's a younger quarterback with a younger coach. A younger coach, and they haven't had the experience of how do you overcome that. The Patriots have. They've gone through this time and time again. Brady's next man up, and he makes people. I mean, he is the epitome. I'm not saying I think Andrew Luck in 3 or 4 years we're going to be talking about him like we're talking about Brady, and I think he is the heir apparent to be one of the horsemen after these guys retirement. I really do. But right now he's still developing. He's still up and coming. Well, Brady's there, and he is the epitome of making people better around him. And so that's why I'm with Train. Yes, Gronkowski is a monster, but the next man up, Brady's going to he's gonna take him, they're going to practice, and he's going to make him be effective too. And they're going to be right there down the stretch. They're going to be right there.
The one thing I want to caution is when Brady lost Welker 3 or 4 years ago, I believe it was the regular season finale at Houston, I tore the ACL. The Patriots did not have an answer for Welker's loss offensively. They were lost. I mean, now they have a lot. The good news for them is they have a lot of time. They have a few weeks. In addition to the bye week, I'm sure they'll receive at this rate because I don't believe the Bengals or Colts will, you know.
But when you say they didn't have an answer, they're not gonna win a Super Bowl every year. So what is your?
No. When they played in the wild card that season at home, they had a trouble scoring. I believe they had 17 offensive points. They had Brady had a pretty bad game. He had 3 picks. It was against the Ravens. 3 or 4 years ago, they just had problems moving the ball offensively. It was a terrible game. Like I said, the good news is
I don't know what game you're talking about. Did they win?
No, they lost. They got killed at home, and everyone believed they could overcome Welker. But everyone believed that they could just overcome whatever injury was thrown their way. But
because they've done it more times than they have it, though. You picked one game that they didn't do it, but
I'm just simply cautioning. Look, it's a big injury.
Well, but my point is that he's done this with no name. He's done this with no name wide receivers before, is what I'm saying. And the defense has stepped up with no name, defensive players under Belichick. That's all I'm saying is we've seen this happen before. And so it would not surprise me. I would be more surprised if they didn't do it than if they did do it. You know, that's all I'm saying. So,
I gotta agree with that one too, especially when you look at the records right now. New England's only a game out of first place in the AFC. They still got a legitimate shot at a number one seed, believe it or not, and get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They got, I'm looking at the schedule now, they actually have 3 winnable games. They got a tough one at Miami. The next one is at Baltimore, and then they finish the season at home at Buffalo. It's going to be tough for them to run the table. But I still think they got a chance to do it. And that might put them in the driver's seat, depending upon what happens with Kansas City and Denver. Might put them in the driver's seat for number one.
They really need that.
I
feel like they really need that number one seed. If they really, to up their chances, that's for sure, of beating the Broncos. Because we saw what Peyton did or didn't do when he was in Foxborough. They couldn't, the wins were so overwhelming for Peyton, in his arm at this point in his career, where he can't throw those high velocity throws and that kind of win. So that, home field advantage is huge. And, again, losing Gronkowski hurts because that game at Baltimore, I'm looking at as a probable loss for them because they already struggled with Baltimore anyway, so it's big.
No, I wouldn't put it – I kind of agree with Train and with T. I would be more surprised if they come up on the losing end of this final 3 games than otherwise. As long as you got Brady back there, you got – at minimum, a puncher's chance as long as you got Brady. Hell, I can line up there too and still have a chance to win as long as Brady's back there slinging the rock. And for them, and they know they're within striking distance of a number one seed. They know it. They're going to be pushing hard for it. Nothing like having home field advantage, and they got a shot at it.
Yeah.
Well said. On that note, let's go to individual segments. Let's start with K-Star. K-Star's sound off. K-Star, the floor is yours.
Earlier this season, all season, I've been telling people before the hype got too big, the hype train grew across the media circuits, on ESPNs, NFL networks. I told everyone about the Carolina Panthers. And now, all of a sudden, simply because they got blown out, they got blown out, at New Orleans, people are acting like as if they're not legitimate or if they simply don't have a shot in the NFC anymore. And people just need to stop overreacting because people and teams often get blown out at New Orleans in primetime game. I believe I said that earlier this year when P and Trey were picking the Cowboys to upset New Orleans in New Orleans. People just don't do it on national TV at New Orleans because that's a tough place to play. It's the equivalent basically, to playing at Seattle. The Saints just turn it up a notch. And now this week, the Panthers have a home game against the hapless Jets. I can only imagine what kind of defensive pressure we apply to Geno Smith and company. And then they get their crack at the Patriots. I'm sorry, they get their crack with the Saints yet again the following week at home, which I think will be far more telling, simply because the fact of the matter is that the Panthers win this game, and we expect them to win this Jets game. If they win this game at with New Orleans, they're in the driver's seat again. And people need to stop just assuming that simply because the team got blown out, just like the Saints did last week at Seattle, that all of a sudden they don't have a chance either. Like, it's if people just let the previous week kind of get to their emotions and people just kind of go crazy with it. I mean, you got to look at the course of the season, how it's played out, and kind of get a feel for, what a team is, what a character is, and how good they really are. And so when a team in a big matchup gets blown out, I just simply don't immediately just throw off what they did the previous 13 games of the season and just look at this one game where they struggled. Because, again, remind everyone, they have a chance 2 weeks from now at home against New Orleans to settle the score. So let's not get too carried away with the Saints are about to win the NFC South and the Panthers are just illegitimate and fraudulent, because that's ridiculous. I've heard some talk like that lately. It's been upsetting.
Okay. Mm. All right. Nothing to add. That's a good point. I agree. Nothing really to add to that. Dr. Train, I'm not really sure what it is you wanted to talk about, but it is time for Dr. Train's philosophy.
I know, man. You know what? I'm going to call audible today, dude. I'm going to call audible today for Dr. Train's philosophy. And I'm still one of the topics we didn't get a chance to address. I'm going to just look at the race for the NFC North. Clearly, neither team wants it while Aaron Rodgers is sitting. While Chicago has put Aaron Rodgers down there out for the season and got up sitting on the sideline, neither Detroit or neither Chicago wants a division. And what could possibly end up happening is Rodgers getting cleared and Green Bay winning out and possibly end up getting a division, because Detroit can't seem to get it right. And, of course, Chicago at the same time, even with Josh McCown, we are still up and down. And I'm gonna be sick at the stomach if Green Bay mess around and come back and be able to miraculously get this division. It's gonna be a slap in the face, really, for both Chicago and Detroit. Definitely for Detroit, because they're actually the healthiest team in our division and got talent to win it. Stephen A. calls them an accident waiting to happen, and clearly they play like it because they just can't seem to get right. So, yeah, the NFC North race is still on, and it's going to be week to week, definitely, if Green Bay keeps winning and Chicago and Detroit keeps winning and or losing, depending on who they play.
Did you say they can't get right? Is that what you said?
They can't get right, man.
Hey, Jay, remember life can't get right? Anyway, I'm sorry.
I thought of it, too.
Yeah, me too. Anyway,
that's where it's from.
let me help Train out a little bit here, because when you look at the Lions and the Bears and the Packers, there is a potential that this division could come down to the last game where the Packers and the Bears play each other in Chicago. And I'm kind of surprised that Train was ready to almost sounded like he was ready to concede to the Packers if Aaron Rodgers comes back, because you guys host that last game against the Packers.
At home.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that is after you guys go on the road and play a very game Browns team. And then you got to go to Philly and play a very resurgent Phillies team, which I am going to be wearing my Walter Payton jersey for that game. And I will be playing my Super Bowl shuffle for that game. And the Lions do not have an easy road. They do host the Ravens. But, that game could go either way. They host the Giants. And, the Giants are eliminated. Yay! I get to say that one more time. The Giants are eliminated. But it's so pretty. And then they host the. Then they get to travel to Minnesota. So, that division is really wide open. And I think, even though the Lions went out, they win it. I won't go so far as Stephen A. because that accident waiting to happen was created. And he's talking about the Cowboys, and now he's extended it to the Lions. The Lions are an up-and-down team. So are the Bears, and so are the Packers. So I think it's going to be a very interesting race to watch. But the Bears, I mean, the way you guys played last night in that very cold weather, you know, there's no reason to think that you guys can't won't be there at the end. And may not sneak in, you know. Ice Cube say I messed around and got a triple double. Y'all might mess around and go ahead and win this division, you know. So
well, live, man, we got two away games in Cleveland and in Philly before we come back home. Hopefully, it's not as much snow as it was this past week in Philly. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you guys, you know, you guys can play in the cold weather. So snow or not, I mean, you know, clearly you showed that last night. So. It would be very, very interesting, very interesting, very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. My T-Bonics is going to be brief, but, you know, I want to talk to everybody about loyalty and about faith for a minute. Well, maybe it won't be brief. I don't know. It'll be as long as I feel like. How about that? I want to talk to everybody about loyalty and about faith. You know, what is loyalty, right? Loyalty is staying true, right? You know, it is being supportive and understanding. You know, it is being there. You know, and nothing shakes that support that you give that entity because you stick by that entity through thick and thin. That's loyalty. And faith is believing when you have absolutely no reason to believe. You're not given anything. There's no facts. There's no clear evidence of anything, but yet you still believe, right? I believe in God. I have faith, right? Because I'm a man of religion, and I believe in God. But we don't have any proof that God really exists. But yet we have faith. I believe, you know, I believe in love, right? Because I have faith. You know, I believe in people. You know, I think people are good. You know, even though there's a lot of bad people out there, I believe in the essence that most people are good in their heart, and so I have faith, right? You know, you have faith in things, you have loyalty. Now, we use these words throughout life, but we use them a lot when it comes to our sports teams. We use them a lot when we're talking about the teams that we love and respect. We love and respect these teams so much that we identify with them. We call them us. We talk about the Cowboys, and I say, we lost to the Bears. And Train talks about my Bears, right? And K-Star talks about his Steelers. And we almost pulled that game out, you know, over the weekend. And, you know, and so we use these descriptive terms because we feel that attached to the team. But sometimes what happens is you have people that say it but don't show it. They don't have the loyalty and they don't have the faith. I won't even call them bandwagon fans. I just call them lost. They're lost because for some reason they think that, you know, hey, listen, in life, you can't have good without bad. You can't have ups without downs. You want to be happy, you've got to embrace that there's going to be sad, too. That's just the way it is. It's nice to live in a fantasy world where there is nothing but happiness, but there's going to be some sadness that creeps in. There's going to be some tough times, and you deal with them, and you get through them until the happy times reemerge. Well, that's life. Well, why is it not that way in sports? Why is it that people can't accept the fact that sometimes your team isn't going to do well, and that doesn't mean that you, one, abandon your team. Two, it doesn't mean you bash your team. It means you accept it. Hey, my team isn't doing well this year. My team isn't very good. We'll see what happens in the offseason. I'll follow them. But, hey, I still love them, and I still support them. That's my team. Right? I have two daughters. You know, they have their good days and their bad days. They're not just my daughters on their good days. You know, they're my daughters on their bad days, too. They're my daughters when they don't really like me. Still my daughters, okay? Now, maybe that's not the greatest analogy, but the point is that I think people have to reassess the loyalty and faith when it comes to their sports teams. If you support your team, then you support your team. If you don't, that's fine, too. You don't have to be football fan fanatics like Dr. Train, like K-Star, like JB, my brother, like myself, like many of the fans that listen to the Madden Voice. Adam is a Skins fan. Our friend from Australia, he's a Skins fan. I got a good friend, BJ, plays in a band. He's a Skins fan, a very loyal Skins fan, actually a very good Skins fan. You know, we all have friends that are fans. You can just be a casual fan. But listen, just know who you are. Be who you are. Don't try to pretend because times are good that now you're a true blue diehard Patriots fan when you know you're not. Or you're a true blue Bears fan because look what they did to those Cowboys. Yeah. You know what I like about being a Cowboys fan? Is that so many people hate the Cowboys. That's what I like about it. So many people can't stand the Cowboys. That's what makes me – I get excited about that. I go to the bar and watch the game, and I walk in with my DeMarcus Ware jersey, and the bar goes, oh. I love it because that's my team. And I would just suggest – now, we told y'all when we changed the format of the show years ago that this was a show by the fans for the fans. We would teach y'all how to be loyal fans. If you listen to Dr. Train, K-Star, myself, my brother, when he can join, we're all loyal. Okay, we'll teach y'all how to be loyal. But be loyal and have faith in your team. Don't abandon your team. Your team needs you. As a matter of fact, don't abandon anybody that needs you. Be there for them. But right now, we're just talking about football. So be there for your team. Your team needs you. Trust me. Trust me on this. Your team needs you. All right. That's enough about that. All right. Let's talk.
Hey, man. Felt like I need to say that. That was pretty.
Yeah, I know you like that. That was good. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know.
In the face.
You know, I've been saying that all week, Jay. In the face. I've been saying that. Anyway, all right, power rankings. Power rankings were pretty interesting this week. I knew K-Star was going to stick with the Panthers because he's biased. I knew that was going to happen. But Train and I stuck with the Chiefs, and then we had a little flip-flop on the Broncos and the Patriots. So, but the TMV NFL power rankings are as follows, and that is the accumulated power rankings of the hosts. Number 5, the Kansas City Chiefs. They have come back onto the power rankings. Number 4, the New Orleans Saints. Number 3, your very own New England Patriots. Number 2, the Denver Broncos. And yes, we know the Patriots beat the Broncos. But number 1, even after a loss, shows just how good they are. Your Seattle Seahawks, number 1. Me and K-Star coincidentally had the Broncos ahead of the Patriots, even though the Patriots beat the Broncos, and Train had the Patriots ahead of the Broncos. So that's one difference. And then Train and I had the Chiefs at number 5, and K-Star stuck with the Panthers at number 5. So interesting. Any thoughts, guys, comments?
I'm just surprised that the Patriots are as high as they are on Train's list, only because you have to consider, again, and we discussed it earlier, who they lost. I know that, looking at that game they had, you know, against Cleveland, they certainly struggled. They had a ball bounce favorably for them on that onside kick for them to be in position to win that game. But throughout that game, they had their hands full with the Browns. They didn't impress me too much this weekend. Especially when you had that injury in there. So I'm a little confused. I understand that, you know, they beat Denver. I guess that's probably what Train saving grace is with that, but just struggling at home.
Well, I kept them. I didn't change my power rankings with the exception of the fifth one, because, the Chiefs were 10-3, Panthers were 9-4. Both of them, formula for winning is very, very similar in a sense with good defenses. So I put the Chiefs back in there. As far as the Patriots, they're one game behind Denver, and they beat them. And, you know, regardless of how they won the game against Cleveland, they won. They lost one of their offensive weapons, and they managed to pull it out. And I can't sit here and say, yeah, when Denver plays the Patriots again, Denver's going to win because the Patriots don't have Gronkowski and whoever else. I can't say that. So I can simply go off what I've been going off with the fact that the Patriots beat them, and they're still only one game behind them.
I'll just say that I'm going to keep them in
the same spot in which I anointed them a few weeks ago until something happens that makes it different.
I will just say this. I can't keep pausing and then keep talking again. I will just say this. I don't disagree with Train, but I think that the fact that they struggled against the Browns is what impacted me. And that's why I had to put the Broncos back on top, even though the Patriots beat the Broncos. The fact that they really struggled against a 3-9 team, I think that mattered to me a little bit. I think the Broncos, Patriots, and Saints are kind of interchangeable. Even though the Patriots beat the Saints and the Broncos, I still see those teams as all very similar. And, you know, let's be honest, right? Isn't that three out of the four horsemen right there with those three teams? So I can't argue any order with those three teams because I think those three teams could beat each other up. I really do. I think it really is a matter of roster, who's healthy, and what field you're playing in. You know, if you're playing in New Orleans versus playing in Foxborough versus playing in Denver. But I think those three teams are really interchangeable, in my opinion. Let's go to the phones. We got someone wanting to get on here. 562 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice. Hello? 562?
Uh-oh, you might want to mute that one.
Yeah, well, they hit the button like they wanted to come on. So sorry, 562, but try to get you.
The reaction to seeing the Chiefs over the Panthers on these power rankings. Very upset by that.
Why?
Why would you be upset by that, though?
The formulas are very, very similar for winning, though, K-Star.
Yeah, but the thing is with the Chiefs, I mean, Justin Houston has been out. Ever since Justin Houston's been out, the Chiefs are 1-3. Their pass rush isn't there. Like, they're winning. They went to, you know, Washington and beat them. But the two games prior to that, their defense was just non-existent. And to me, that's a concern because when you go 1-3, you know, in the previous month, compared to the Panthers, who won 8 straight before losing at New Orleans, which I think was to be expected considering at New Orleans on Sunday night, is kind of a little off.
I don't know if that was necessarily expected. I think there were some people who picked Carolina to go in there and get that win because they beat them last season.
Yeah, K-Star, you're everything. I was with you until you said that. No, there were quite a few people that picked Carolina to go in there with their defense. They were comparing their defense to Seattle and really saying that Drew Brees is going to have a tough time, and Drew Brees picked them apart. Yeah.
New Orleans does. I mean, yeah, some people picked them, of course they did.
There were quite a few people that picked Carolina.
Yeah, but again, I mean, like I said to you guys before, when teams go into New Orleans in prime time, they usually get the doors blown off of them. It wasn't a surprise to me to see how the game played out.
Well, maybe not to you. Maybe not to you, but I'm not basing my rankings on what you think. All I'm saying is I watched the game, and I was not impressed by Carolina at all. The way New Orleans, after coming off their own annihilation in Seattle and then coming back and putting it to Carolina like that, showed me a lot of character. And I thought Carolina, I expected them to make it a better game than they did, and they didn't have a shot. They didn't have a chance. So that's why I said, you know what? The Chiefs had a trap game. They went into Washington to play a hapless Skins team that they should beat. And sometimes those games don't work out that way. Well, you know what? They went in and annihilated a team they should have annihilated if they are as good as I've been saying they are. So when I looked at those two teams, I said, you know what? Right now, I got to give the edge to the Chiefs. They went in and whooped up on a team they should have whooped on. The Carolina went in and didn't show up against a division rival. So that was my logic input. I'm not saying Carolina's all done. I'm not saying we may not see a different outcome when they play them in 2 weeks. But right now, I'm not looking, again, you know, trying to help you here. I'm not looking ahead. I'm looking at right now. And right now,
I'm looking in the past. I told you the past month, a 1-3 record for the Chiefs.
Yeah, they're 1-3. But they, two of those
three
are two.
That's all I was saying.
1-3, but let's be clear. Those three losses are division games, and two of them are to the Broncos, who are 11-2, right? So, I mean – You know, they're not losing to scrubs. They're losing. They're losing.
It wasn't
one of the best teams in the NFL. Yeah.
That's why I didn't drop the Panthers off, because again, just like you're saying, divisional game at New Orleans, prime time. I mean, that's a tough place to play. So
if they had showed up and it had been 41-31 or something like that, I'd probably be more inclined. But they just looked bad. You know, they just didn't. They just didn't look competitive. So that's all. All right, let's go with some picks here. And Jay, we're going to bring you in for some of these picks too. And Train, one of these days, man, you'll give us like, you know, some numbers, man. One of these days, or put something on the Madden Voice Facebook page so we can just see where we're at. You know, that would be nice. You know,
I know, man. Work, life, things keep getting in the way, but trust me, I'm keeping count.
Okay. All right. Speaking of the Broncos, they are hosting the San Diego Chargers, who are almost out of it. So, you know, clearly if the Chargers lose, I think they're done, if they're not already done. So the Chargers host the Broncos. K-Star, you know, you're a big fan of the Broncos. What do you think?
Denver's going to handle business at home. I really don't think there's too much to be said about this game.
Trap game. Train?
Yeah, I like Denver at home, but I also say that is, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers managed to sneak one in. But I still like Denver at home. I can't pick against them.
Brother Jay, Chargers at the Broncos.
That's an easy one, Broncos. There's too much at stake for them right now to falter this one, Broncos.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Broncos, but Phillip Rivers is playing some pretty good football. That's all I'm saying. But I'm going to go with the Broncos too. I just, you know, they're the better team. But I got a pit in my stomach about that game. I added this one to the list that Train shared because the Bucs have turned out to be at times they could be a spoiler. And they are hosting the 49ers. And we've seen a different Bucks team over the last several weeks overall. So, and the 49ers have been inconsistent. You know, they had a nice win at home against Seattle. But I don't know. I didn't think this game was a gimme for San Francisco. And matter of fact, I'm not even going to pick first because I'm still not sure who to pick. I'm really not. I'm really on the fence with this one. Train?
I'm going to go with the Niners, man. You know, yeah, they celebrated hoopla like they won a Super Bowl when they played the Seattle, but you need to get back to what people you were seeing for at the beginning of the season. You know, you were a dominant team, and these are teams that you dominate. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Niners.
Okay. K-Star?
I'm going with the Niners. I think the fact of the matter is they have too much at stake for these games to be a trap game. I mean, yes, they had coming off the emotional win at home against Seattle, and we saw how emotional they were to win that game. But at the same time, the Cardinals are nipping in their heels, also division rival, and they really need to win this game. I don't think they lose sight of that. San Francisco is an experienced ball club, as we pointed out earlier, won the Super Bowl from last year. So I like San Francisco to handle business.
Brother Jay.
You know what? I think I'm going to go with an upset. I think I'm going to take Tampa Bay in this one just because I feel like rolling the dice. And I'll give you a couple of reasons why. Number one, it's a 1 o'clock game against Tampa Bay. They got to travel all the way across country for this one. Technically for them, it's a 10 o'clock in the morning game. Might rattle the cage a little bit. Secondly, Tampa is playing a lot better in recent weeks. They've got more balance now. That quarterback, Glennon, he's been playing well, and they've actually got a decent running back now in Bobby Rainey, who even when he struggled not this past weekend but the weekend before, he still put up halfway decent numbers. And the defense is playing a bit better also as of late. And I think that big win for San Francisco might be a little bit too much. It might be a letdown when they get to Tampa Bay and think they can walk all over. And Tampa Bay is not one to be walked over. They have been playing pretty good football. So I might be in the minority. I wouldn't be surprised if San Francisco won, but I think I'm going to take Tampa Bay in the shocker.
Well, brother, there's a reason why we're brothers, because I'm looking at the last six games the Bucs have played. Lost by 3 to Seattle. Y'all forgot about that one. A game they should have won, by the way, in Seattle. Beat the Falcons, but that ain't saying much. Beat the Dolphins, a team trying to get in the playoffs. Beat the Lions, Panthers in Carolina, okay? And then just whooped up on the Bills. This is not the team that started off the year, you know, looking like garbage. This is a team that they're playing a little bit better football. And I'm going to get on the bandwagon, and I think that the 49ers need this game, and they should win this game. And because of that, I'm going with the Bucs in the upset. I put it on here for a reason. I just have a funny feeling that 49ers, yes, they went to the Super Bowl last year, and they my point earlier was they should have this swag, and they don't. And I think it's gonna reveal itself in this game. All right. Patriots at the Dolphins. Big division game for both teams. Dolphins still trying to stay alive in that division. Let's start with K-Star on this one.
This is going to be a tough game. The Dolphins are really good against the pass, clearly. The Patriots without Gronkowski here, but I like New England simply because, you know, the experience. I mean, Brady's still better than quarterback than Tannehill. And the fact of the matter is, in divisional games, although New England historically has struggled at Miami, they know the importance of trying to keep pace with Denver. I don't think they drop this game. I think next week's the game to circle and look at and see what they do against Baltimore, but I like the Patriots win this game.
JB.
Man, this is going to be a tough one. I think it's going to be less than 5 points, whatever the victory is going to be. I have to go with the Patriots on this one. I'm going against my gut. My gut says Miami, but my heart says the Patriots, just because of what's at stake for the Patriots. And granted, the Dolphins got plenty to play for. They're still in the hunt. But I think people are going to be out to look at the Patriots as kind of on the downslide a little bit because Gronk is hurt, and I think Brady's going to take that and fuel his own fire, and I think he's going to come out slinging it. So I'm going to take the pass, but it's going to be in a close one.
Train.
Man, Jay stole my words, man. Almost feel upset on this one. Miami getting the win, but, you know, until I see anything different, I'm going to go with the Patriots on this one because they also have something at stake. They have to keep winning in order to get home field.
Well, you know, I was all prepared to pick Miami until we got on a soliloquy with K-Star about the Patriots and Belichick and Brady and you know, and now I feel like I can't pick the Dolphins because I just got done pumping up the Patriots. So I'm going to go ahead with the Patriots. I gotta stick to my guns. The Patriots are, you know, I was going to pick the Dolphins because the Patriots struggled so much against the Browns. I'm thinking, boy, oh, boy, they're ripe for the picking. But I'm going to go ahead and stick to my convictions and say the Patriots, they're going to regroup without Gronkowski, and, you know, Tom Brady is Tom Brady, so Patriots. And I added this game, Bears at the Browns, because the Browns is another team that, like the Bucs, not going anywhere, but has had some games this year, including this game against the Patriots, where, you know, probably should have won, right? So they're playing one of the better teams in the NFL down to the last play of the game. And now they're hosting the Bears, who desperately need this win to stay in pace in their division. So Jason Campbell, who is my brother, big fan of Jason Campbell as a quarterback, is actually, you know, starting to play probably some of the best football of his career. So I'm going to go with Train first to convince us all why the Bears are going to travel to Cleveland to the Dog Pound and beat up on the Browns.
Because they need this win, and they realize winning out will give them the best chance to get into the division. Detroit is an up-and-down team. If you want to take advantage of an up-and-down team, you have to win. Chicago is the better team here, no matter who's at quarterback. The defense is still up and down, but the defense showed against Dallas that if they can make a few stops, the offense can counter and put up some points. True enough, the Browns have been playing some good ball, one of the reasons why they ran the Patriots down to the wire. But I truly believe Chicago can go in here and get a win and not see this as a trap game because you need it. You're only 7-6. You're only one game above 500.
You guys remember when the Browns were in first place in that division?
Yeah.
I remember that. K-Star,
that was you week one before they started playing.
No. It was like, they were
It was like beginning of October. I mean, it was when they had Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
They were like
3-2 or something like that, and they were in first place. Yeah, I remember that. Yep. K-Star.
It's been a long time since that first place game, that's for sure, because, I mean, again, that was late September, early October. Had quite a few injuries happen their way at the correct position and just Cleveland being Cleveland. I'm going to take the Bears. I'm under the assumption that Josh McCown will be playing for them, and they've been hot offensively. I don't think defensively they'll have too much issues handling the Jason Campbell with offense. While he's been playing better, I just don't see him being a threat to go point for point with that Bears offense and all the weapons they have. So I like Chicago to handle business at Cleveland.
Okay, JB?
I'm going to take the Browns in this one because of the inconsistency of the Bears and the fact that they're coming off that huge win with retiring Dickens' jersey and sweater and whatever else they want to retire and all that good stuff. And the fact that Cleveland isn't as bad as the record may indicate. And what's the – why was it? Josh Gordon has been playing out of his mind the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, buddy.
So is Al Jeffrey.
Yeah, he's been playing pretty solid. So I think a combination of the way the offense has been playing for the Browns and the potential letdown that the Bears are going to have because of that big win last night, I'm actually going to take the Browns in this one.
Yeah, I don't want Jay back for that.
Notice I waited for Trey's reaction. Jay makes some good points, but this is where I don't know your coach, and can your coach? You guys had a great win last night, a big emotional win, nationally televised game against the Cowboys. Also retiring Mike Ditka's number, and it was a huge win, and this is a situation where it could be a letdown. The atmosphere is ripe for a letdown. And I don't know your coach well enough to know if he's got, I believe he's won a couple of those Canadian Cups. So he's a champion, at least up in the CFL. But I don't know. Like, if this was Dallas under these circumstances, I don't believe Garrett has what it takes to recover. Garrett as a head coach, there's guys on the team that could do it, but I don't know that Garrett can. But I don't know your coach. But I do know that you guys need this game. And I do know that your veterans, the Julius Peppers and the Matt Fortes of the world, know how badly you guys need this game. And I think that's going to be enough to carry you over to Browns. So I reluctantly, because I usually don't pick a team the following week after they whoop up on my team, but reluctantly, I'm going ahead and pick the Bears to win this game against the Browns.
It's all right, man. You get a bear hug.
Yeah, whatever. So anyway, the Jets, kind of their last gasp against K-Stars, although, I say this because K-Star talks about the Panthers almost so much. I'm wondering, should we change his loyalty from the Steelers to the Panthers? But that said, Jets at the Panthers, K-Star.
Cool your role. I'm a Steelers fan. I have just inherited the Panthers and taken them under my wing because I was some of them long before the ESPNs and the networks of the world were.
I like him.
That helps a lot.
Yes.
Love you.
Would have been all the same. 2 years ago.
That's right. Yeah, definitely Carolina at home. They're about to clean up the mess they made in New Orleans, take it out on the Jets, especially since the Jets are sloppy with the football. Carolina's defense should have a great rebound game. Carolina wins this game big.
Okay. Train.
Yeah, I like Carolina demolishing the Jets. I haven't been a believer of the Jets all season long. And when they win sometimes, I still think it's unbelievable. So, go Panthers.
Okay. Jay?
They're going to rough up Geno. I don't see a problem with them taking down the Jets in this one.
Yeah, I agree. Panthers. They're going to recover. They're going to rebound after that, after their loss. And, this could get ugly. Panthers. Packers? Don't know if Aaron Rodgers is playing or not. I still stick by my guns. I believe I've said it from the time he got hurt that we will not see him back this season. And even though they've been talking about it every week for the last 3 weeks, teasing us, he has not been back. So far, the omniscient one is correct. And he even talked about, he's trying to practice and there's more pain than he thought. And, when you hear pain, that means you ain't playing. It's okay. It's pain. So, right now, he's still not cleared to play. And they're moving ahead with Matt Flynn, who is their starter against Dallas as of now, unless, something happens over the next few days with Aaron Rodgers. So, Jay, I'm going to start with you. Normally, I would start off as the Cowboy fan, but I'm going to defer to my brother on this one. And tell everybody why you think the Cowboys at home are going to beat the Packers.
Well, I think you just hit the nail on the head. The Cowboys are going to be playing at home. I think they want to get that bad taste out of their mouth from last night. I think that the one good thing you can take away from
that
40
burger, they didn't like the 40 burger. I'm sorry, interrupted.
That's what you get for picking the Browns over the Bears. He was gonna come back at you. It was just a matter of time. That's all that was. Go ahead, Jay. That's all that was.
I'm about to break out the rock and say, "Who is this Rudy Pooh?" But the one good thing that I saw last night was the return of the running game, the return of having a fullback going in I formation and then just cutting off left tackle, right tackle. So it was nice to see what could have a balance. I think that they're going to rebound and pull out of that.
Oh.
Okay. Train is a Cowboy fan this week. He will be walking
Absolutely.
Around in his blue starred, scarf. Should I even ask you, Train? I mean, I know you want the Cowboys.
And even goes without saying, I don't care if Aaron Rodgers does manage to come back. Go Cowboys.
Okay. Now you want them to win, but are you picking them to win?
I think they can beat them. They're at home. Packers still struggle. Their defense looked horrible against Chicago, but their defense hasn't looked like that. That's probably the worst I've seen it all season long. It looked better than that against the Saints. So, Chicago does present a tough matchup with the two wide receivers they have. Josh McCown played out of his mind, but hey, it's not like the Cowboys can't bounce back. They're still a good team, and they're still a team that can win this division. So, yeah, Cowboys.
Okay. I almost hate to ask him. K-Star?
It doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers is playing. I think Cowboys handle business and rebound after their disappointing performance last night. I like the Cowboys to win this game.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Wow, it's not Matt Flynn. Like, come on. It's not Matt Flynn, the Packers, to go into Dallas and win.
Yeah, listen, this is not the Packers from a couple of years ago. This is not the juggernaut team, and certainly without Aaron Rodgers, they're not the same team with Matt Flynn as they are with Aaron Rodgers. The Cowboys, even if you are not a believer in the Cowboys, and even if you think that they're going to do what they've always done, if you believe that, then that means they win this game. That means they win this game, and they win against the Redskins, and then they lose to Philly on the last game, which, you know, be the third year in a row that would happen. So there's really no script out there where the Cowboys lose this game, because even if you hate the Cowboys, you're going to say, well, of course they're going to win this game. It's too early for them to break your heart. They're going to break your heart the last game of the season. But that said, what I've seen from this team is resiliency. That's the one thing that I've seen. You know, they've had some tough losses and come back and played well. They've been blown out by the Saints and came back and was able to get a win against the Giants. So, you know, I that's the only thing I have to hang my hat on right now is they've been resilient. The defense is horrible, but the offense can still score 30, 40 points on you, you know. And at home, I expect that because the Packers' defense is horrible. So I expect that Romo's going to go off and have a great game, and that's going to be enough to carry the team, even if the defense doesn't show up again. So go Cowboys. Before we do our last game and get out of here, let's quickly do a fantasy football update, because we've just witnessed one of the most competitive EAFL fantasy football games maybe ever, certainly, and at the same time one of the highest scoring as far as points go ever between our very own Dr. Train and our very own K-Star. And you know, I don't know who wants to speak first, because one won and one lost, so
Oh, I'll recap it. I'm the commissioner. This is what I do.
Okay, handle it.
Well, mind you, it was definitely an exciting game, and it was funny going in that game. Kay started texting. I think that was on Sunday. You know, he wasn't feeling too hot because he saw how well my team was. He had a double digit lead. It was just over 10 points, but he only had Josh McCown, and I had three going. For the Monday night game, you know, Alshon Jeffries, Matt Forte, and Dan Bailey, who only got me 2 points. Good grief. But the game starts, and I think Josh McCown starts. I can't remember which score it was, but K-Star sends me a message to say, you know, like his manly roar, just, ah, I'm just like, I just laugh. And by that time, I'm just like, dude, I do not care whether I lose this fantasy football game, but if the Bears win tonight, I will sacrifice my win. Now, mind you, I with the way Josh McCown was playing, I thought it was about to be a breakaway. But somehow, with who the plays were going to, both to Jeffries and both to Matt Forte, I managed to climb back in it, and I was within five. In case I sent me another text, like, like, what the? I'm just like, hey, it's a good game. Come to find out, the game comes down to a short pass to freaking Michael Bush, who's subbing in the backfield for Matt Forte. And I can't remember if Matt Forte was maybe even split out wide on that play. But Michael Bush goes in and score. And mind you, since he's a running back, I'm just like, ah, he done stole a touchdown from my player. That touchdown pretty much sealed it, because it was the final, I think it was the final touchdown that the Bears scored, and there was no need to really score any more touchdowns. It was a matter of running out the clock after that. But it was definitely an exciting game. The only thing I could have done, if I had any foresight, like K-Stars tends to have when we do the power rankings, if I had any foresight, I would have put in Andrew Luck, who put up 40 points on my bench, and I would have scored a total of 200. And even with both our optimal squads in, with both our squads optimized, I was still 200 to 194. So, anyway, good game. Good luck. Right now, you know, K-Star got out of the first round. He plays Joe Maniacs the next week. Nails, we all know, is Tiki. He's back in it again this year. Aaron Rodgers maybe, but he got out of the first round. T beat my boy from Chicago.
Yeah,
you
buddy.
Know, Drew Brees put it on, so T's out of the first round. And he plays against. No, actually, no. Yeah, you play against
Joe Maniacs. I played Joe Maniac.
Yeah, you played Joe Maniac. So it's going to be a battle of the quarterbacks, really. I think that's what that'll come down to. And K-Star, you play Tegan. I don't know. Hey, if Aaron Rodgers come back, man, whew.
Be annoying. Yeah, if he comes back.
But I'm predicting my favorites for the championship. I'm predicting Joe Maniac's vicious something spectacular, which is K-Star's team.
Thanks, Trainer. I appreciate that, man. You also picked your boy to beat.
I like to see new people winning these years, man. I'm sorry. Unless it's
how about a little loyalty? Huh? How about a little loyalty for the guy that started this thing with you? You know, how about some love for the guy that started this league with you, man? You want to see new people come in. You want to see new people come in, but you want to win it, right?
Yeah. That's the only exception.
Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you rather see me versus K-Star in the championship game? I mean, what better game could you ask?
That would be terrific.
Me versus – and K-Star has beaten me twice this season.
Oh, yeah.
He's
that
already
would be a three – a wow. Yeah, that would be nice.
That's what
right.
I'm talking
about. Final Four. It's possible. It can certainly happen.
You know, and I will remind everyone, I am a previous champion of this very league. But
yes, he is.
Our game was crazy. I just want to say something real quick. Just so people understand, it's a 14-team league, PPR. So the fact that Mayan Train's final score is 186 to 178 in a 14-team league is insane. Our players just all went nuts. Like, I mean, what, Train had Forte, Giovanni Menard, Alshon Jeffrey, Fitz. I had guys like McCown, Jamal Charles, Shane Vereen, Keenan Allen. Like, it was just a battle.
I'm going to tell you, my pickup of the week – of that whole game yesterday was Tampa Bay defense.
Yeah,
it was
Train,
just sitting out.
Train.
I was just like, I need help. Bears will not do it.
Train, that's funny because 2 weeks ago, I actually, being that I have, you know, that foresight thing going for me, which is why I'm pretty good at fantasy football, I actually picked up Tampa Bay's defense only to release them simply because I wanted, I wasn't, you know, too fond of Heath Miller, my only option. I picked up Dennis Pitta, who should pay dividends this upcoming week. But, no, I looked at the Tampa Bay-Buffalo matchup, and I certainly favored it better than Carolina going to New Orleans. But I thought it was worth the roster spot for Pitta. But that was definitely a good play. It was just a crazy game.
Yeah.
It was just insane.
Well, you know, and I will also say this. While fantasy football is very important, if the Cowboys are playing, don't anybody text me about fantasy football because I don't want to talk about it during the Cowboy game. I don't know how y'all do it, but it's just I can't do it. I have to focus on the Cowboys and keep fantasy out of my life, and then I'll pick up the score after the game goes off because sometimes I'm playing against guys that have boys. Sometimes I can't do it. You know, I can't think about it. I just got to get these Cowboys to get this win, and then I'll go and see, okay, what happened afterwards. So I'm letting everybody know don't bother me. Don't bother me about fantasy during the Cowboy game. I am in two leagues. In my other league, I won as well. And I now play the commissioner of that league next week, who I've already beaten, Bronzell. Jay knows him well. Actually, Jay's known him a lot longer than I have. I've already beat him once in the regular season, and we play next. So my goal still remains in the two leagues is to win the championship in both leagues in the same year. And I 1 year I'd made it to both games and won in our league and lost in that league. And then last year I made the playoffs in our league, but I lost in the first round, and I made it back to the championship in that league 2 years in a row, and I lost again. So now here we are. I'm going for a three-peat to try to get back to the ship in the other league, but hopefully win this year. And yeah, I'd like to, and you know, personally, yeah, I would like to see K-Star in the championship game. I really would. Cause he got me twice this year. So I like to get them
you
back.
You don't want to get the three-peat put on you. Just three losses.
I know. I want it. Bring it up. Bring it. Because I don't think it's going to happen.
You want to give it to him.
Yeah, because one of the games you beat me was Drew Brees' bye week. One of the games. Drew Brees was bye week. Not making excuses. I'm just saying that was one of the games. The other game, Drew Brees was back. I was like, I got you, and you still won. Punk ass. But anyway, hey, Jay, real quick, I know you were doing well in your league, like really well. How'd you make out? You guys in the playoffs, how'd you make out?
Yeah, first round of the playoffs, and I won by about 60. So I'm advancing, moving on. 12-1 is the record, baby. I'm trying to get 13-1 and get to that championship again.
Yeah. See, the one problem with Bronzell's league is, and I think it's the same way this year, too. We actually go one extra week because he expanded the brackets. So week 17 actually counts. And that's the one thing I've said year after year that I don't like that, because you just never know. And 1 year, the 2 years ago when I lost, the Saints didn't need that last game. So I either Breeze didn't play or he only played like the first half. And it hurt me in the championship game, and I went and got somebody else, but it wasn't the same. So that's the one thing I don't like, is that the championship game in his league is played in week 17. We've talked about
that's
it, but
so good.
I don't like it. I've told him.
I can imagine being a Peyton Manning owner or someone and losing like your best player at week 17 because of being sad. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's the one thing I don't like. So I'm hoping, although the way the season's playing out this year, I think every game's, I don't see any team resting anybody.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think it's going to go right through 17 this year, so that's a good thing. All right, last game, and then we're going to get on out of here. We ran a little longer than normal, but, hey, you know what? A lot to talk about, man. We're getting in the playoffs, and, you know, we're going down the stretch. Last game, a little discussion on big game. Ravens still trying to they're not going to win the division. I think the Bengals haven't clinched it yet, but they got two games. They got a two-game lead with three games to go. But the Ravens are trying to see if they can get in there, get a wild card. They're still alive and 7-6, and they are traveling to Detroit, who currently is leading the NFC North at 7-6. They got two 7-6 teams playing in Detroit, which is a dome stadium, and you know, I don't know. Let's start with Train, because I know who he wants to win. I know he's going to go get his Ray Lewis jersey and wear that for this game. But who do you think's going to win, Train, between the Ravens and the Lions?
I think the Ravens can pull this out. This is the thing. I look at both of these teams, and you know, almost even. They've both been up and down. Ravens probably a little worse, but they're still in the hunt for the playoffs, as well as the Lions are still there for the division. But, you know, as far as a team that's been playing well lately, I would have to go with the Ravens. Of course, I want them to win, but I like their chances with the way the Lions have been playing. And if Reggie Bush is out with a concussion, because normally that takes 2 weeks to clear, they're definitely going with the Ravens.
Okay. K-Star.
Reggie Bush is going to play this game, in my opinion. And first of all, this is a tough game because Baltimore has won three straight. They're coming on. This is usually when they kind of turn the corner. I hope it's not the typical case for them this year because I just don't like to see it. But the thing with Detroit is, since they are so erratic, but the matter is, when they lose in games they shouldn't, they come back and win. They play a little much better. I just think they have more firepower on their offensive side of the ball than what Baltimore has. You know, Ray Rice hasn't really looked like himself this year. The Ravens got Dennis Pitta back, but, you know, Megatron at home, Reggie Bush, again, expect him to play. And I just think the Lions find a way to bounce back and win a game in which, you know, you probably figure they'll lose. So I'm going to go with Detroit.
Yeah, and I don't think it was a concussion, Train. I think Reggie Bush aggravated a groin or a hamstring?
Quad.
Yeah, it wasn't a concussion. He aggravated a leg injury in a warm-up.
I thought he hit his head, is what they said.
Nah, pregame warm-ups. Nah, it wasn't his head. It was. Yeah. What you say, Jay?
I said he hurt his calf warming up. He had the injury during the week, was warming up, slipped, fell, and re-aggravated his calf injury. I should know because I got him on my fantasy team. I was watching the whole.
Okay. It's still only two weapons.
Jay, who's your selection?
That's actually probably going to be one of the more competitive games for the weekend, and that's probably one of the most difficult to pick. I'm going to take the Ravens. Not with a whole lot of confidence, just because if Reggie plays, they're playing at home, playing in that dome, I think the fans are going to get behind them. But I'm going to take the Ravens only because
they've been coming on as of late, like it's already been stated. They've a lot to play for still. So I'm going to take the Ravens and a squeaker.
I don't like either team. I don't have faith in either team. I think the Ravens have overall been flat this whole year after winning the Super Bowl. And I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, which is not unusual after you win a Super Bowl. I don't like the Lions. My history with the Lions is well documented. I don't like Matthew Stafford, and I don't like Schwartz, the coach. But Stafford can ball. Even though I don't like him, he can ball. And I, at home, with that embarrassing loss to the Eagles, they should feel like they have something to prove, and to have the Super Bowl champs. I mean, it's a shame, and I hate to always talk about the Cowboys, because I know people say, here we go about the Cowboys again, but shouldn't you get up for the Super Bowl champs? And yet the Super Bowl champs are just, you know, it's just another team. You know, you almost have to think. Oh, remember one week we were talking and I had forgotten the Ravens won. I was talking about the 49ers, like they had won, and forgot that the Ravens actually did win. They're not. I don't know what it is, but they're forgettable, and yet they're the Super Bowl champs. I mean, this should be like, wow, Super Bowl champs are coming to town. And, you know, it's just the Ravens. So. That said, I'm going to go ahead with the Lions. I just think they're just the better team right now, and I think they're going to have a lot to prove after that debacle in Philly and the Snow Bowl. I do think Reggie Bush is going to play. I think he's a little embarrassed, because had he played against Philly, if he was healthy enough to play, I think he could have did what McCoy did. I think Reggie Bush could have did everything that LeSean McCoy did, and I think it might have been a different game, but we'll never know. So I'm going with the Lions. So, all right. Extra long show today, but I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope everyone really enjoyed our dialogue, and you know, as we're trying to give you a combination of reviewing football games, but also looking at the playoff races, and then looking at some of the top issues in the NFL, you know, the Shanahan issue, the Gronkowski injury, so I hope everyone really got a kick out of the show. And with that said, let's go with final thoughts or closing remarks, and we'll start with our special guest, my brother, JB. Any final thoughts or closing remarks?
I think after a record-setting weekend of NFL football in terms of number of touchdowns scored and the matchups that we've had over the course of this past weekend, hopefully we get to see something similar, at least from a competitive standpoint, this weekend from just a pure football fan. This past weekend, watching all these games and how competitive they were and how many points were scored, it's always good to see. So hopefully we can keep that kind of momentum just from a football fan's perspective.
Sounds good, brother. Hey, man, I hope you can make this a habit. You know, I know life sometimes gets in the way, but always good to have you join us here on the Madden Voice. So you have I think I can speak for Train and K-Star both, and anytime you want to join us and talk about some football, man, you fit and blend right in very well. So you have an open invitation anytime.
Absolutely, man.
I appreciate
it. Let me know
that.
If you need another 40 burger, man. I got you.
That's what you get for picking the Browns, man. You got it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
All right. It's love, baby. It's just love. That's all right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon, man. My best to the family.
Likewise, man. Likewise. I got Michelle staring at me, telling me it's time for me to get off the phone anyway.
All right. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. All right,
yeah.
Dude. We'll talk soon.
All right, y'all. I'll get up with y'all next week. Enjoy.
Definitely.
Take it easy.
All right, man.
All right, now. I'm gonna take it easy.
All right, K-Star, final thoughts, comments.
Just that while I'm happy to watch my Steelers play on Sunday night at Cincinnati, I'm already kind of dreading seeing the highlight replay over and over again of what happened last week and how we almost won but didn't. So that's going to be annoying. And you know, our season's pretty much done, but you know what? While fantasy football and real life can be very conflicting, I can only hope that in the 5 or 6 leagues that I'm in, that I'm in the final four in, that I win the vast majority of them. And I actually want to see UT again in the championship game in the EAFL because that would be tremendous. So best of luck to you this weekend.
Thank you, sir. Likewise. Even though Train wants to see somebody new, whatever. But likewise.
I wouldn't mind seeing y'all too, man.
Yeah, whatever. Dr. Train, any final thoughts, comments?
Yeah, just a few things real quick. One, I'd like to tell our fans, you know, if you're looking for a 2014 calendar, go ahead and support the Erica J. Holloman Foundation. We have a calendar. I'll post a link on our Facebook page so you guys can check it out. But, you know, all proceeds to the Erica J. Holloman Foundation in for, you know, research for breast cancer. Also, the lady told me to tell you guys hello and good night. She did listen to the show, but she had to go steady. Also, she did watch the game with me yesterday. I'm telling you, man, it was kind of fun. We both sat up there and watched the game, and we watched the Bears serve serve the Cowboys at 40 Bergen. Man, it was awesome.
Jay's off the phone, man. Jay's off the phone. You can kill with the 40 burger now. He's off. He's off the line, man.
Oh, that burger's for you, man. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And lastly.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Uh-huh. I hope the Browns do beat them. Anyway, go ahead.
Lastly, man, just like to say the Bears-Philly game got flexed to Sunday night. So in order for this, for that game to have some true meaning, Chicago got to get this win this week. We have to, because it's cool to be able to see my team on Sunday Night Football. Looking forward to it.
Hey, that's cool. That's cool. Well, just a couple of quick comments. One, my honey, as I said earlier, couldn't join us tonight because she actually I really gotta just, you know, put her business out there, and she's a very private person. But I don't think she would mind me sharing this. She actually did. She does Bikram yoga. Okay, and y'all don't know what Bikram yoga is. Go look it up. It's 90 minutes of yoga where you go through 26 positions. I learned this because she taught me this. You go through 26 positions in 90 minutes, and it's 105 degrees heat at 40% humidity. Okay, and so this is one of her loves, one of her passions. And because she missed the last couple of days, she actually did it two classes, like back-to-back tonight. So she texted me when she was done, and I'm sure she just went home and took a shower and crashed because I know that's a lot. But I got to tell her, even if I don't think she's listening, but in an unlikely event that she may have grabbed the last or catch the archive, I'm very proud of her because I know that was something she really wanted to prove to herself that she could do, and I'm really, really happy for her because in my best days, I couldn't do that. So, you know, hats off to her. That's a great accomplishment. I'm really happy and proud of her for that. And, you know, as far as football goes, guys, I say this every year. All you longtime fans, listen to us live or listen to us on podcast. Football season's the shortest season of all the major sports. We are literally down to 3 more games, and it's done. So enjoy these last 3 games like Train did. You know, have your girl come over, go to the bar, so whatever you need to do to enjoy the last 3 games. What we did not talk about was the ban on tailgating at the Super Bowl, but we will talk. That just announcement was just made, so I kind of want to let that marinate and see what people are thinking. We're going to talk about that next week. No tailgating at the Super Bowl in New York this year. I'm very curious about that. We'll check that out next week. But, hey, enjoy the last 3 weeks. Support your team. And on a completely separate note altogether, do something nice for somebody because it'll make you feel good. So on that note, for Dr. Train, for K-Star, enjoy the games coming up this week. And remember, you know, on the Madden Voice, as on in the NFL, all feuds are ultimately settled on the field. Enjoy the games this week. See everybody next week. Good night.
Yeah.